have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. How y'all? Excuse me. How y'all? You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773-888. 77 Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question is a doozy. What is courage? What is courage? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show, jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, and you just got to do what you got to do. You can podcast the show, but you still can listen live as it is happening on your phone by calling the Listen Line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday, and every Tuesday is and will always be Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back, oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me.
What dog? Who let the dogs out? Amazing. Amazing.
Okay. All right. We had to move Punchy from the stool to the table because he's in front of the guest. I have with me a guest this morning, and we'll get to your calls a little later. I have with me Jake Lang. And Jake spent over 4 years in pretrial detention in the D.C. jail following the January 6th Capitol event. Y'all remember that, right? He was later pardoned by Trump, now a committed Christian activist. He leads Americans Against Islamification, recently making headline in Dearborn, Michigan, and organizing a march in Plano, Texas, on December 13th. Welcome, man.
Jesse, God bless. It's good to be home from that gulag, man. It's a blessing to be here in Los Angeles, be able to get on a plane and travel where you want, be able to speak how you want. That's a blessing. In America, we take a lot of blessings for granted, and for many years I was huddled on a prison phone just trying to get my voice out there to the American people. And now I'm here on this platform, and I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Well, welcome. So you spent time in jail from the January 6th Capitol event?
Yes.
So you were there at the Capitol?
Yes.
And did you go in?
Almost 5 years ago now, yeah.
That's amazing. That's been 5 years.
Yeah. Most of the January Sixers technically never even made it inside the building, myself included. And they rounded us up because they wanted to get to President Trump. It's very simple, right? They saw us as political pawns to basically make it so that President Trump was a domestic terrorist, right? That's what they wanted the American people to think, that he was the leader of this, like, rowdy gang of violent domestic terrorists. So they used us as political pawns.
So you didn't go in the building, the Capitol?
I never made it technically inside the building, no.
So why were you arrested then?
Well, there were circumstances at the Capitol where the Capitol police actually fired upon an unarmed crowd with rubber bullets, tear gas, concussion grenades. And so they basically riled up the crowd to the point where we had to defend ourselves from these flying munitions. They also were hitting us with steel batons. And so it turned in basically into a mass, you know, self-defense effort from all the patriots that were there. They're tired of being bullied. The election was stolen, right? They forced COVID down our throats. They locked us in our houses for a year. And then they bully us on the steps of the Capitol. You know, we're Second Amendment, you know, red-blooded patriots. And so we weren't allowed that to happen.
So were you at the Capitol event when they arrested you, or did they come to your house and got
10 days later? You know, the FBI, the Biden FBI, had activated in this weaponized manner, right? That's what the biggest complaint was, that Black Lives Matter.
I know, but what I'm trying to understand, when you were arrested, were you at the Capitol when they arrested you?
No, 10 days later at my home in upstate New York.
And how did they know to go find you at your home?
Oh, they scoured social media. See, what they did was they activated every single FBI agent basically in the country, 51 field offices, and put us as like priority number one. The grandmas that you saw like walking between the red ropes right inside the Capitol and the peaceful protesters, they like designated us as the highest level domestic terrorist. So they had scoured social media and went to attack us when we saw the same thing with the Black Lives Matter protests and Antifa. They burnt down police buildings, you know, firebombed police cars.
I know, but
and
what
they
I'm
never
trying
came
to understand.
After those people like they came after us.
So they saw you on a video?
Yes. Yeah,
oh,
they,
I see.
Yeah, on social media. And they had basically a mass tipping system, right? Same thing they do in China, which is most of the time, like, you'll have your own neighbors turn you in. So people that were my friends on social media, people that saw that I was at the Capitol that day or knew that I had plans to go, they turned us in. So you had a lot of redcoats, a lot of traitors, Benedict Arnolds hidden inside, you know, the American fabric here,
so
that
somebody
turned us in.
Oh, so some friends of yours told them who you were?
Oh, yeah. Well, on social media, I was also very vocal about the deaths that occurred because a woman named Roseanne Boylan was murdered right in front of me, like virtually in my arms, Jesse. And, you know, I said I witnessed this and, you know, I stood up against it. That's why I was incarcerated for 4 years, because I tried to save her body that was being brutalized by
the
police.
So
the
woman that was shot there and killed, you were standing, she was standing right in front of you?
So there was four people that died that day, which nobody really talks about. Four unarmed Americans. One of them was Ashley Babbitt. She was shot in the throat inside the building.
Oh.
There was another young lady that died, Roseanne Boylan, that was killed via Capitol Police brutality. She was trampled. She was asphyxiated with all the CS gas and whatnot. And I was trying to – she's basically stuck at the bottom of a dog pile that the Capitol Police created, pushing people on top of one another. And I tried to save her life. I was unfortunately unable to, but we were basically wrestling. The Capitol Police and the J6 Patriots were kind of wrestling over this woman's lifeless body to try to save her, and they were just brutalizing her. So it's a horrific event.
And so she died.
She did die. Roseanne Boylan, yes, God rest her soul, gave the full measure for this country, and Ashley Babbitt as well. And two men that died from heart attacks because the Capitol Police were just lobbing flash grenades into the middle of this peaceful crowd. And some of the men there, you know, they're elderly men, like just collapsed from heart attacks because you're standing there, you're at a protest, you're singing, you know, Christian songs, you know, you're waving your American flag, and all of a sudden a flash grenade lands at your feet, blows up, and these people's hearts gave out, and it caused pandemonium in the crowd. And that's why we reacted the way we did. But, you know, history shows on January 6th, that we the people stood together. We refused to be bullied. We refused to cower to this, draconian police force that was anything but. It was Nancy Pelosi's personal stormtroopers. And she was told, you know, she told them to fire upon these people, rile them up so that they could use that as a predicate to do their nefarious deed, which was refused to decertify the election.
So did you get in a fight with the cops?
I got into a couple different tussles where, especially
at the rally,
at the Capitol, yes, right over her body, because basically we were trying to recover it, and I had picked up a riot shield, and we were clashing with the police trying to. There was women on the ground dying, and they were just mercilessly killing people, and we were trying to recover bodies, save people. I actually ended up pretty well known saving the life of a young black man that day. One of my best friends now, Philip Anderson, he credits me with saving his life, and he was willing to testify at my trial because right next to Roseanne Boylan's body on the ground was another young man who was also unconscious.
So you fought with the cop?
I would say that we defended ourselves from an onslaught that the Capitol Police were baton death marching on us. So, no, I didn't fight with anybody, right. But they were aggressive towards us, and we have the right to self-defense.
And that's why they arrested you?
Yes, that's why they arrested
me. Oh, I got it.
Yep.
And so, but they didn't arrest you that same day.
No.
They came later and got you.
Yeah, the FBI.
So you were home. Were you expecting them?
I had an understanding that, because of my role on January 6th and how vocal I was on social media, that they would be coming soon. I actually went with my phone one morning. I woke up on January 16th and everything was like wiped on my phone. Like my social media accounts were all down. My network connection on my phone was dead.
Really?
And I was like, this is probably the high level FBI thing about to happen here. So I went down to my local church, said my last prayer, was walking home, limping home because I got shot on January 6th with a rubber bullet. It broke my foot instantly.
Really?
And so, yeah, I was on crutches and I was limping home from, you know, my little kind of like last stroll in my neighborhood, and like 20 FBI vehicles just surrounded me. I felt like they were swinging in from the treetops. They were coming in heavy duty, laser, you know, red dot sights trained on me and tackled me on the ground. And that was the last day of freedom I had for 1,467 days. I languished without ever having a trial.
And so they put you in jail. You weren't in prison. You were in jail, right?
Well, I actually was transferred 17 times because of how vocal I was. They kept on trying to move me around, and I actually ended up in federal maximum security penitentiary, which is a prison. I ended up in Brooklyn, New York, which is the most dangerous prison in America, where P. Diddy was, where El Chapo's nephew was, R. Kelly. So they moved me around from the D.C. jail all across the country. It's called diesel therapy. It's like a torture technique so that you never really kind of settle into a place. Your family doesn't know where you are. So in the middle of the night, they just tell you pack up. They put you on a plane, fly you with 100 other convicts to Oklahoma. Then they transfer you from there to another place. It's a torturous. You're in chains the whole time. You're eating, you know, peanut butter jelly sandwiches or a bologna sandwich for 3-4 days straight, not with a real meal. So it's really a tactic, a psychological warfare tactic to try to break you, to take the plea deal, to blame President Trump. That's all they wanted. If you were willing to blame President Trump, saying he made me go there, he made me be violent, he made me do it, you were going to go home that same day.
Were they asking you to say that or something?
Yes, actually.
Who were asking you to say that?
The federal prosecutors.
Oh, I see. And so did you have a lawyer?
Yes, we had a really great lawyer, one of my longtime friends, Stephen Metcalf, and me and him made the decision very early on. We're not going to take a plea deal. We're not going to cooperate with this regime because this was a totalitarian regime. They were weaponizing the Department of Justice on innocent Americans to try to contrive some, like, you know, wild legal thing that we're all domestic terrorists. And this is what MAGA, anybody who's a Trump supporter is an enemy of the state. And so we decided to never cooperate.
So you had your own private lawyer, or was this a court-appointed lawyer?
I had my own private lawyer.
Good.
Many court-appointed lawyers, Jesse, for January 6th were actually rabid liberals. And they were given to these January 6ers who were in the worst circumstance of their lives, and they were told, just take the plea deal, just do this. So you had all of these kind of like government agents, like these rabid liberals that hated President Trump. They hated us, but they were appointed to be our attorneys. And what ended up happening was a lot of people ended up, I mean, like 80% of the January 6ers ended up taking plea deals that, you know, blamed President Trump, said that they were guilty of a felony charge called 1512, obstruction of Congress, 20-year felony charge. And they said, if you don't take this plea deal, we're going to charge you with this and you may do 20 years in prison. But if you take the plea deal, we'll get you out of here in a year or two. So you had all these brave men and amazing American patriots be coerced and be threatened by the weaponized Department of Justice underneath Biden and Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray, the FBI director. All these people colluded to destroy. 1,600 Americans went through what I went through.
So when you were in prison, they were transferring you from one to another. Your lawyer knew that they were transferring you from one prison to another?
No, that's the thing about diesel therapy. Sometimes your family won't hear from you for 2 or 3 weeks. You'll just disappear in the transit system in the federal prison, and they won't know where you're at.
Your lawyer didn't know that they were transferring you?
All the time. It was like
constant. You said he did or did not know?
No, he didn't. And all the time it was like a constant, like, he would be calling the federal prison system, the U.S. Marshals, and trying to figure out where we were. And you know, because they were moved. Sometimes they moved all the January Sixers just in one big heap. They put us all on buses, spread us out throughout the country because we were getting powerful together. We were doing Bible studies. We were doing, you know, interviews through the phone system. You know, you get on the phone. I was on with Newsmax one time live, and everybody in the world heard it, said this call is being disconnected by the D.C. jail. And so they were like actively censoring us so that we wouldn't get our side of the story out. It was a crazy dystopian nightmare just to get your voice out there. That's why I'm so glad to be here on a couch in front of a microphone instead of, you know, being shuffled around the country just to get a simple interview and tell my side of the story of what happened.
Have you had other interviews before this since you've been out?
Yes, we've done a really great job of reaching out to the American people because, you know,
had other interviews about your situation.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and people have been woken up to the truth of January 6th. That it was, now everybody knows it was a Fed insurrection.
But
Patel told the American people.
But let me ask this because of time. So like you had a private lawyer when you first went to jail, right?
Yep.
And then when they transferred you to how many different jails?
17 times I was transferred.
And they do that without notifying your lawyer?
Yes.
That, really?
Yeah, they'll say is that's a safety security issue. If anybody knows that you're being transported and you're like, you know, like El Chapo, if you were to tell, you know, El Chapo's lawyer, hey, he's going to be transported tomorrow, you know, 1,000 armed thugs would come and try to, you know, break him out while in transport. So they just shift you off in the middle of the night and they claim, you know, that it's a safety security issue. Meanwhile, you end up like 10 states over, you know, huddled up in some room with, you know, 50 other inmates in like some waiting room area, like a drunk tank for days sometimes. It's an absolute nightmare. And all it is, and you were talking about courage earlier in the beginning of the show, and what it is it's a way to try to break down courageous men who are willing to stand against the government. All of this is psychological warfare tactics that they use on prisoners of war to try to break down their mooring, where they're at. They haven't spoke to their family. They haven't eaten a solid meal. That sometimes you don't sleep for days. And what they want you to do is just say, if you take the plea deal, right, all this will end. You'll be able to go home. You'll be able to get a much easier time. And so you have to have courage in these situations to say, my integrity's worth more than, you know, selling out and saving my own skin.
So let me ask. So they transfer you to all these different prisons. And so your lawyer found you by calling the prison to say, where is my client?
Sometimes that, or sometimes you would get a phone call when you first get to a prison, right? Sometimes they would bring you to a room that had a phone. You put in your prison PIN. You call your lawyer like, hey, I'm in Oklahoma.
Oh,
or, hey,
I see.
I'm in West Virginia, wherever you are. And so, and for your family to be, I mean, for the first, not many people know this. I did 900 days of solitary confinement, Jesse.
You were in solitary confinement for 900 days?
Yes, sir.
900 days. Confinement means nobody around, right? You're in a room by yourself?
Yes, most of the time, 23 hours a day inside a cell without any human contact. The only time you get to see another person is 3 times a day when they open up this little doggy door in the bottom of your cell, slide the food in. I lived for years without a chair in my cell, without sunlight. I ate my meals off the floor. I did my push-ups. I read my Bible. I thank God every day for his presence and his love of Jesus Christ that maintained my spirit, maintained my sanity in those circumstances. And, you know, sometimes prisoners in that circumstance, sometimes they break down. But for me, I just saw it as this adversity that I had to overcome because my country needed, you know, patriots to stand tall
in the
face of tyranny.
That's when you found Jesus in solitary?
I had gotten deeply, deeply intimate with my Lord and Savior then. But Not then. I had been baptized a couple months before January 6th.
Oh, so you already found Jesus before you went into
solitary.
Yeah, but
there's no such thing as, you know, it's like going from kindergarten to college, right? You just sit in your cell all day reading your Bible, and God's Spirit just pours out on you. And so I got to know him very well. He was my only friend for many years, and I'm happy to say that, too.
So what were you doing when you were alone like that? And you were just working out and praying and reading the Bible.
Yeah, and so you have other inmates that are in the same unit, so you could talk to each other through just screaming underneath your door or talking to each other through the air vent. So I took it upon myself to do Bible studies, right, all the time and teach the other young men in there, because not everybody was a political prisoner. In fact, most of the places I was at, I was the only one in there that was for, you know, a prisoner of conscience for some type of reasoning that I had. And most of these people, you know, they were murderers, gang members, drug dealers, MS-13, ISIS. You know, a lot of the times I had to spend time around the worst of the worst because they designated me a domestic terrorist. So I had the opportunity to reach out to the gospel, baptize ISIS members, baptize MS-13 gang members, and, you know, just reach them with the word of God, because it's a hopeless scenario.
You baptized people in prison?
Yes.
How did you baptize them?
It depends on the scenario, but even sometimes through the prison wall, in solitary confinement, you have a shower inside your cell because you're not allowed to leave your cell. So I tell them, go inside your shower. You know, we're going to say a prayer. You're going to accept the Lord Jesus into your heart, and then you're going to hit that shower water. Or other times when you're out together, we take a big bucket of water and pour it over somebody's head that was receiving Christ for the first time. And, you know, we do whatever you can do. In prison, you have to be very crafty with whatever, you know, your mechanisms are, because obviously you don't have much in there. Yeah. So even a cup of water was good enough for the Holy Spirit to not, you know, play favorites with baptism. It washes from the inside.
So let me get something straight. So you were in there for 900 days, right?
In solitary. I was in there for 4 years and 6 days in total, which is 1,467 days miraculous release.
But you spent 900 days in consolatory.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And so and you praying and exercising and teaching the Bible to other people. And why were you teaching the Bible to them?
Well, because, you know, first of all, God put it on my heart to share the gospel. And in this scenario, you have a lot of young men, right? Some of them, they were looking up to me. I'm 30 years old now. So I went from 25 to 30 years old in prison. And, you know, a lot of these men are 18, 19, 20. They never had a father figure. They're not educated. And so, you know, they're looking for hope. They're looking to understand why they're in the circumstance and whatnot. And so we're just giving them the hope of the gospel, teaching them how to become a real man through the gospel, not, you know, this young boy that is, you know, led away by sin, that is constantly in controversial, you know, stuff in his life, saying, do you want to come home and, you know, your mother and your siblings look up to you as the man instead of as a troublemaker? Well, here, the teachings of Jesus Christ, this gospel right here will teach you how to become, you know, a strong man internally, and then you can be the pole, the pillar that everybody else in your family leans on, instead of you constantly being the one that everybody's ashamed of. Now you'll be the man that is the center of your household. So we taught, you know, a lot of Bible studies about how to become a strong man through the gospel, through giving your life to the Lord.
Were your family able to visit you?
18 months I did without a family visitation. In the beginning, it was COVID, remember? Right when they arrested us January 16th, 2021. That whole first year was COVID. So no haircut, no shave. I had this big beard, a long ponytail, was unrecognizable. Didn't get to see my family for years. It was all, like I'm saying, all of it was psychological warfare to try to break you.
Were you able to talk to them on the phone?
Yes, yep. We were able to talk on the phone.
Even though you can see them, you spoke to them on the phone.
Yes, and that was, you know, that's your sanity in there. That's, you know, your mom, my beautiful fiance, Rachel, who's also a January 6er, you know, who's been through it. She didn't go to jail, but she was on probation at home. And so, you know, you lean on one another in that time. And I had a lot of great purpose in there as well, because I started an organization to help raise money for the January 6ers, help pay for their commissary, their lawyers and stuff. So I was very active on the phone. When I could get to the phone, I was doing interviews on OAN, Real America's Voice, Newsmax, Gateway Pundit, and getting out the message in order to try to bring awareness, raise money, help other people. And so I was like mission oriented. Every day I was figuring out how we could reach more podcasters and great conservative American patriots to get the story out. And we did hundreds of interviews from prison because everybody wanted to hear from us. We were like the people that nobody could get to. But through the phone, we were able to reach the world.
So when you were in prison, were you visited by any conservative or Republican politicians? Did anybody come see you?
Yeah, we were very blessed. We had one visit from Marjorie Taylor Greene and Louie Gohmert. Louie's retired now, but, you know, current United States congressman.
She came to the prison where you
were? Inside, yes, and shook our hands. We prayed together. It was a moment. It was a historical moment, but you know, for us, we were downtrodden, and it seemed like a hopeless scenario. But to have some of the most powerful people in the world come and try to, you know, represent and try to aid your situation was very powerful.
But
unfortunately,
really
99% of the Republicans didn't care at all about us.
But did Marjorie Greene and the other person who else came with her?
Louie Gohmert and Matt Gaetz tried to come in. They didn't let Matt Gaetz in.
Oh, did they have any influence?
I mean, they had influence to try to get our situation better in D.C. jail because, like I said, the first 18 months we weren't allowed. We were in solitary confinement, no shave, no haircut, no family visitation, no going outside for sunlight, no religious services, no legal library. So they were advocating for us on a basis of, you know, inhumane treatment. This was disgusting.
Oh, I see.
And so they were trying to advocate for that and obviously also advocate that January 6th was a setup. We have Kash Patel now saying 274 undercover FBI agents were at the Capitol on January 6th manipulating the crowd and, you know, moving people around and doing, you know, God knows what else, setting people up with weapons and
all
this
stuff.
Did
you know that was happening at the time?
Nobody did. They were dressed like MAGA, right? They were, you know, subversively moving through the crowd. So I think that the light that is shining on January 6th now with the pipe bomber, with the revelation from Kash Patel, with the 274 undercover FBI agents, is going to bring a lot of people to understand that the government has run this operation to try to set up President Trump to make it so he couldn't run for president again.
What do you think about the fact that Marjorie Taylor has appeared to have turned on Trump now? She turned against Trump. What do you think about that?
We have very vicious enemies in MAGA, and there's no reason that we should have any splits in the conservative movement.
What do you think about the fact that she has done that?
Marjorie Taylor Greene and President Trump both have a lot of loyalty for me in my heart. I'm one that I consider myself and who I support an honorable thing. And people that supported me, President Trump pardoned me. Marjorie Taylor Greene visited me in prison. You're not going to hear me speak.
No, not what you personally think about it, but are you surprised that she turned against Trump?
I don't like to see it at all. President Trump saved my life.
Yeah.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is a great freedom fighter. She's an American hero, and we need to work it out. Just like Elon Musk and President Trump eventually got to work it out, right? They're back together. Dad and his best friend are back together serving our country. MTG and Trump need to work it out as well.
Yeah. So let me ask, so you were pardoned by Trump, right?
Yes.
Were you still in jail when you were pardoned, or were you still in jail? And so were you in confinement?
Yes, I was in the D.C. jail. They moved me back to the D.C. jail, and I was released on Inauguration Day, right? He signed the pardons. The second he became president, he fulfilled that promise, and he saved our lives. I mean, I was going to face a lot of time in prison. And when I walked out of that prison to the loving arms of my family, to thousands of cameras and supporters with the Bible in my hand, I gave a lion's roar out, and I just spoke from my heart about the power of prayer and how God can deliver anybody from any circumstance and how miracles happen. It's amazing.
The day that you were pardoned, were you like sitting in the jail and then somebody came and say, oh, the president pardoned you, you can go home now?
It was actually the D.C. jail.
Or did you know it was going to happen?
Well, he announced that he was going to do it on Inauguration Day, and the D.C. jail refused to let us go for the first day. Trump had to send the U.S. Marshals in there to, like, extricate us out of the jail, and they, like, basically busted us out and, like, and get, go, 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 go. And we walked out of the D.C. jail
But you didn't know about it until they came and said you
could. No, I mean, we saw on TV, he sat down on inauguration night, and he signed the big thing, and he's like, 1,500 coming out tonight.
Home?
What's that?
You knew then that you were going home.
Oh, I was praying to God that I was part of that, because some of the guys didn't get fully pardoned. We have some January Sixers that have been left behind.
Let me take a break. Hold that thought. Let me take a break. Back in a moment. You know, Christmas is coming up. Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, all that coming up. I have some amazing books that would make for excellent gifts. I have the antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. And then Rage, From Rage to Responsibility. Check it out. Scam, How the Black Leadership Exploits Black Americans. And last but not least, a little small pocket guide, the 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Just a little thin piece of book, but it's so good. So check them out. You can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. And I can sign them if you order them that way. If you don't want me to sign them, no problem. You can order from Amazon.com, all right? Okay, welcome back. 888-777-5773. 888-77-JESSE. There is a special on cameos, personal shout-outs, birthday shout-outs, wedding, anniversary, congratulations, encouragement, whatever the shout-out is, go to cameo, Jesse Lee Peterson, cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. Discount until the end of this week, Sunday, this Sunday, to be exact. And the Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. The Hake Report, you white, the guy with the good hair. And after that, the American Anchor Baby from 11 to 1 p.m. The American Anchor Baby at 11 a.m. Pacific time. I want to go back to my guest. I have with me Jake Lane. And Jake Lane was in jail because of the January 6th Capitol event for a while there. He is now actively running for office. I just found out. We'll tell you about that in a minute. And very interesting story. So, Jake, let me ask this first, and then I want to play this soundbite of you protesting the Muslims. So the day that they released you was after Donald Trump did the pardon thing, right?
Yeah.
And you knew that you were going home.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it doesn't feel real until your feet are on there. You kiss the ground, you thank your God, and you keep it moving. I mean, it was.
I didn't think
it was real until I had my fiance in my arms, to tell you the truth.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so when you were being transferred from prison to prison or jail to prison, were there other January people with you or just you?
Well, there was 1,600 of us that were arrested. So it seemed like every prison, every jail that I was at, there was 5 J6ers here, some there. So they spread us out across the country. Most of us, we had about 50 guys that were in D.C. jail together. And then once they realized that, you know, we're stronger together, they started breaking us up, sending us all across the country.
And so when you would go to a new location, how would you know that they were there? Some of them were there.
if you find a white guy with a beard in federal prison during that time, 90% chance he was a January Sixer.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Amazing. So now you have an organization where you're fighting against the Allahu Akbar people, right? The Muslim.
Oh, yeah. We're standing against this rapid shift that we're seeing in Western civilization with all these illegal immigrants, many of them from the Middle East, from Africa, that are coming in here. They're Islamic jihadi terrorists, and they're taking over London. They're taking over New York City. Look at that. Zoran Mandami just waltzed right in, and he's an avowed Muslim, you know, Sharia law advocate. And we're seeing some of the greatest cities in the world fall to this radical ideology that we'll never be able to assimilate in the West.
Do you blame Mandami for winning, or do you blame the people that voted for him?
Oh, you got to blame the people that vote for him.
Why would American citizens vote for a Muslim?
They're so brainwashed. These white liberal women in New York City want a virtue signal, right? They want to just, like, appear to the world to be so tolerant, so liberal, so welcoming and inviting, but they're welcoming their own death. They're welcoming the destruction of America, and they don't even realize it. They want to be able to put on their Instagram, "I just voted for Mandami," so that they can get, you know, a little bit of clout, a little bit more acceptance with all of their other minority friends that they hang out with. And, you know, they think that voting for these people that have these socialist ideas, right? Mandami is an avowed socialist, and they have this, you know, minority card that they wave around, that makes them morally superior to a MAGA, to a Trump supporter. So that's why they do it, to win moral superiority points between them and their peers.
I want to play this video, but first let me ask, why didn't they let Matt Gaetz into the prison to see you?
Well, the very first day, Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz was a congressman at that point.
Right.
They didn't let either one of them in the prison. So Marjorie Taylor Greene returned a different day, this time with Louie Gohmert, and they were let in the prison.
Oh,
so,
I got you.
Yep.
So I want to play this video where you were out there protesting the Allahu Akbar people. This was in Dearborn, Michigan?
Yes, sir.
All right.
That's the head of the snake there for the Islamification of America. It's 60% Muslim community, and all the city council members, school board, everybody's Muslim.
And here's the soundbite from that.
Jesus Christ is King of Dearborn, Michigan. Jesus Christ is King of Dearborn, Michigan. Jesus is King. No Talmud, no Quran. America's a Christian country.
Tampa Bay Islam event. Going undercover. Pray for me.
So I made myself
kick me out and recognize me.
You guys are outbreeding insidious parasites on the American way of life. You will never look like us. You will never eat like us. You won't build buildings like us. You are nothing. You can build nothing. Just like President Trump's great American friends have said, you guys are not us, and get the out. America first. America only. God bless America. Jesus is King.
The Middle East, buddy. Shut the f*** up.
Jesus is King.
Jesus
is King. Jesus is King.
That's amazing. Who are you speaking? Was that the city council? And they were Muslims?
Yes.
Oh, they were Muslims?
Yeah.
And was that in Dearborn?
That's Dearborn, Michigan. Yep. That city is unrecognizable. The street signs are in Arabic. All the food, restaurants, everything, all halal. It's all Arabic writing everywhere. The women are wearing burqas. It's unrecognizable. It doesn't feel like America. And you see how intolerant they are. When you come as a Christian, when you come to demonstrate your First Amendment right, I was punched in the face. I was pepper sprayed. I had little handfuls of dirt and mulch picked up and tossed on me and my other Christian brothers that were with me. We had food thrown on us, cigarette ashes. churches. I mean, these people have a violent ideology and tendency. And in fact, their own Quran and their own, you know, pedophile prophet Muhammad tells them to slay and kill infidels and non-believers and kafirs, they call us, wherever we are. So, you know, Islam spreads by the sword. Jesus Christ and Christianity spreads through the love of God and the gospel. But Islam is a violent ideology that is a warmongering ideology.
And so you live in Florida, right?
Yep.
What made you go to Dearborn?
Dearborn is famously a Muslim-majority city, which, you know, that's crazy in America.
Right.
60% of the residents of
a
city.
It is insane.
It's insane. So we went there because it's a hotbed. And there is, just this past Halloween, there was an Islamic terror cell that the FBI had gotten information that they were planning a terrorist attack on Halloween, and they made arrests there. So we have radical jihadi Muslims there that are taking political power. They are playing their prayer call over the loudspeakers in and on the main street of Dearborn, Michigan. You can hear five times a day, including when the show starts at 5 a.m, they're playing their prayer call there. So it's
were you invited there or you just decided to
go? Oh, we were anything but invited there. We decided to crusade. We're Christian crusaders and this is our country. And there's no place in America that should be a no-go zone. That's what they call it, right? Like Seattle and Portland. They call those places for Christians and for white Americans and Trump supporters no-go zones because you're going to be intimidated, be threatened and assaulted by the socialists there and the Muslims there, which are now working together. Antifa and the Muslims are working together to intimidate and to attack Trump supporters. We saw that right there in Dearborn, Michigan.
When you were attacked, someone smacked you in the face.
Oh, yeah.
While you're holding that sign. Did you know that was coming?
No, I was just marching, exercising my First Amendment right, standing up against the Islamification of America and of Europe, and one of those little twig-armed little pedophile worshippers came and punched me right in the face for simply exercising my First Amendment. It's abhorrent.
And why were you burning the Quran?
Well, the Quran is a wicked book and has, you know, pedophilia in it. It has the belief that women should be oppressed. It's an ideology that can never mix with American freedom and our constitutional rights. And so to burn it is a demonstration saying that this wicked book and the ideology that comes with it, the Islamification of America, we stand against it and we will fight and stand in the streets to make sure that these people do not usurp power over the American people.
The so were you a Christian? Were you raised Christian?
Yes, I was raised Irish Catholic. Yep, baptized, First Holy Communion.
Really?
Yep.
But are you Jewish or white?
I'm white, and I don't think that as a Russian Jew on my mother's side, I believe that that's a white Jewish, you know, sect of Judaism as far as the bloodline is both white and religiously Jewish. So my mother is Russian Ashkenazi Jewish, and my father is German and Irish. So I have two white European bloodlines from on both sides of my family. So I consider myself, and I think that most Ashkenazi Jews that are from Europe bloodline would consider themselves white Jewish, you know, at least half Jewish on my mother's side. So I don't think that those things are mutually exclusive. People say that to be Jewish is not to be white, and they say even the Jews don't consider themselves white. But I'm here today, most certainly, as a Russian Jew on my mother's side and as an Irish German on my father's side, I'm European through and through, and I'm white as the day is long. So I don't know to say, you know, that's I'm a white American man is how my identity is white American Christian.
You don't identify as a Jew.
I don't have the religious background.
I thought you had to have. Isn't that the mother? It's the mother that made the person Jewish.
I mean, some people say that, but I mean, in the Bible, the bloodline's passed down through the father, quite honestly. I mean, Jesus' lineage is tracked through his father, and all the lineage is tracked through the father. But I'd say that, obviously, I'm half Jewish, right? If you consider it a bloodline. But I consider being a Russian, the bloodline of where I'm from, my mother's side. So I'd say that I'm a white, European, American man.
Amazing.
What?
Amazing. What do you think about Putin?
You know, Putin is defending Christian values in Europe. He is creating and maintaining a homogeneous society over there. You know, obviously, when we see people go to war with one another, it's hard to pick a side, especially because, you know, I'm over here in America and I'm worried about American problems. And it's the same thing, kind of the question about supporting Israel and supporting Palestine, supporting, you know, Ukraine or supporting Putin. Personally, I think Putin is a Christian and he's protecting his homogeneous Christian Orthodox society. And he has every right to do so from the encroachment of the woke liberal left that Europe, you know, all of Europe is pushing, the EU. On Russia. So, you know, my hat's off to Putin for doing that. I don't like to see, obviously, you know, lives lost in that war over there in Ukraine. But as an American, we put too much onus on who do you support, Putin or Zelensky? Who do you support, Netanyahu or the Palestinians? I'm America first, America only. I really don't give a shit what happens in that region of the world. I'm worried about what happens here in our country.
So the dream team is the Great White Hope, Donald Trump, Netanyahu, and Putin. That's the dream team. What do you think about that?
You know, my opinions on Israel right now have drastically shifted, coming from a Jewish family on my mother's side and even having members of my family that lived in Israel. I'm seeing that there's a lot of politicians that are taking money from AIPAC. There's a lot of dual allegiances that we're seeing in America, and it's creating such a rift in the conservative movement that I've decided personally to just pull back and say America first, America only. I don't like to see America get pulled into forever wars there in the Middle East protecting Israel's interests. I want to see America thrive. I want to see white women in America start to have more babies. That's what I'm concerned about.
We need white babies.
We need white babies.
Yes, that's for sure.
So people want to drag this conversation all the way into left field and see if you're where your allegiances are. And I'm saying, what's up with the brainwashing of white women that they're, you know, being fetishized over every NFL and NBA player, and they're completely falling to the wayside of their responsibilities as feminine Christian women, and what's going on here? So we need to solve the problems at home with Islamification, the Indians that are taking over. I mean, you have Indians and Pakistanis flooding America and taking over all over the place, and we're losing our national identity. We're losing our heritage, our culture here. White people are being replaced and displaced in America.
Yeah.
And for me, that is topic of mine. That's issue number one.
I
don't care about Israel.
People.
I don't care about Palestine. Let them fight it out. Israel has the right to exist and fight for their own sovereignty, just as any other country. And Palestine, too. If they can win the war, then they should get their country. If they can't win a war, America was founded by conquerors, by champions. If Palestine can't win their war, then maybe they don't deserve to be a country. If Israel couldn't defend itself, it wouldn't deserve to be a country either.
Let me ask you,
gotta fight for yourself and your people. That's what I'm doing.
Because of time. So, yes or no? Should America help Israel financially?
No, unless we're making money from it, right? Unless we're selling that like any country, because America is, I mean, the reason why America is great is because our war industrial complex, which some people will, you know, shy away from. But if they could pay for the weapons, we'll sell it to them, right? Anybody. And we've done that, you know, for years.
Well, Israel has always been our ally over there in that region.
Some people say ally, but other people say overlord.
Why shouldn't we support them? And they are our allies.
Well, and the fight against Islam, Israel is our ally. But we have also this competing understanding that Israel is actually dictating U.S. foreign policy by buying out congressmen and waging these kind of blackmail campaigns, like with Jeffrey Epstein. So, you know, if Israel wants to buy weapons from us and fight against Muslims in the Middle East, I love it. Let's go. You know what I mean?
Have you ever gone there?
Yes, I have.
You've been to Israel?
Yes, I have.
And so you don't feel that you're turning on Israel by being against
Israel? The Israeli people are a great people. They act like white European. You know, it's a beautiful democratic society there. You can send your daughter there. She can walk home 2 a.m. from a club, and she'll be fine. Nobody's going to attack her because it's a safe, homogeneous society. That being said, the Israeli government is different from the Israeli people there. And, you know, we need to understand that the Israeli government is behind a lot of the mass migration issues that we're seeing for the first place here. We're displacing people from their homelands in the Middle East.
Let me do this because of time. I got 5 minutes here, I'm told. Do you recognize that if it wasn't for Judaism, there would be no Christianity?
Of course, you know.
So why did you one with Israel then, knowing that if it wasn't for Judaism, there would be no Christianity?
Well, as Christians, we are the Israel of God. We are the chosen people of God now. There's a certain understanding that we have that the fulfillment of the old law has already been fulfilled by Jesus Christ. The old law has passed away, just like an old wineskin, right? Jesus told us, like, you can't put new wine in an old wineskin.
Are you saying that Christians are the Jews and not the Jews?
Christians are the Jews, yes, in the technicality. Christians are the chosen people of God.
Where do you get that from?
We are the ones to receive salvation. The promise of God has been shifted from the curse of the law to the promise of salvation. And so anybody, salvation is opened up to anybody. The Jewish people are still a special people in God's eyes. But until they lift the veil off their eyes and accept Jesus into their hearts, they are just as damned as any Muslim, as any Hindu, as anybody.
But Christians have not accepted Jesus.
Who? What Christians? I don't know any. That's a fundamental part of it, being a Christian.
No, most Christians, they have not. They say they accepted Jesus, but they're still angry. They're still judgmental. They're still evil. How can you be evil and judgmental if you have accepted Jesus? How is that possible?
Well, I mean, the Lord does great works in everybody's heart, and, you know, he says he's faithful to complete the things he started inside you. So many Christians are on a walk with God where they fall, they slip, but they get back
up.
But
you can't fall when you're with God.
Yes, you can.
Do you love the Muslims?
I do love Muslims. Yeah, I love all people, but I don't want them here. I love them there. I'll come over if...
And you love the Jews too?
Yes, I love the Jewish people.
Because of time, tell people how to get in contact with you. You're running for office.
Yes.
Tell them all about that.
So if you guys want to come, we have a pig march. We are marching with the pigs in Plano, Texas, a Christian demonstration showing that this is our country. We will not be dominated by the Muslims. Plano, Texas. December 13th, 1 p.m. at the Epic City Mosque, Americans. Be there. Thousands of people have RSVP'd. So go to PlanoMarch.com, P-L-A-N-O, PlanoMarch.com. Follow me on X, Jake Lang, L-A-N-G, just super simple. You can type it in on Facebook, Instagram, Jake Lang. You'll find me right away. And I'm so grateful for this platform. God bless you, Jesse.
Mike Young from chat want to know, what do you think about Trump? What's your thoughts on Trump's second term?
Trump is the GOAT. God bless Trump. He saved our country from absolute perdition. President Trump is fighting a 100-front war and winning almost every battle. And his recent absolute annihilation of the Somalians, I love that. Make America great again.
What is love?
Love is the ability to forgive.
What is a man?
A man is a biological, strong, red-blooded person that will stand up and defend women and children.
Really?
Yes.
How do you feel about women being evil?
Women are not evil. Women just need to be led correctly.
Would you ever listen to a woman?
In what context, Jesse?
Would you ever tell a woman your personal problems?
No, that's weakness there. Your wife you could share a certain amount with, but to be a man is not to be a whiny little bitch. You got to be strong.
Does your fiance obey you?
Yes, she does.
She does obey you.
Yes, and in prison, she was 10 hours a day on the phone with me when I was running my organizations. She was there like you wouldn't believe, and she showed herself to be a Proverbs 31 woman, a faithful woman, a strong woman, and that's it. She stood behind me and helped me create this massive movement that, you know, we're leading right now. So God bless her.
Do you have anger?
Yes, I am pissed off. I'm the pissed off Charlie Kirk. I don't want to see another Irina Zarusky. When these ghetto people and these hateful people start stabbing white women in trains and buses and lighting them on fire, if you're a red-blooded American man and you're not pissed off right now and you're not willing to get out into the streets, you better check yourself, because God is an angry God, and he is a righteous God, and he has righteous indignation. And we need to understand that he's given us this testosterone and this fight not to just simply sit back and retweet videos, but you got to stand up, you got to be a man, and you got to fight for what's right.
What's
if you don't, you're
black?
A woman.
What's wrong with the black?
They have been brainwashed by Hollywood to hate white people, hate themselves, hate their culture, hate God, and they're completely lost, and we need an intervention in this country.
Thank you, man. your website real fast.
PlanoMarch.com.
All right. Thank you, man. Two more hours to go. When I come back, your phone calls and your super chats. Back in a moment. Thank you, man. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing. Back in a moment. Hate news coming now, not the fake news. Check out Punchy's Coffee. I have my own coffee now. Punchy Coffee is good. Every bag is roasted to order. Freshest flavor. Top quality. Specialty grade beans. Good. Every dime goes back to Bar, my nonprofit. And we are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. So when you're drinking coffee and enjoying it, just know you're helping somebody. Amazing coffee. Punchy has his own coffee now. What the? And it's so good. All the way from the plantation to my own coffee. Who would have thought? Did that coffee come from the plantation? Did I pick my own coffee? Check it out. Go to rebuildingtheman.com, rebuildingtheman.com/stores, and get Punchy's coffee.
What's going on in this old here world? This is the end of hour one already of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, a fiery country and western Tuesday, December 9th, AD 2025. There is one line open. Hang tight, callers. Appreciate you hanging in there. We just finished up an interview JLP did with Jake Lang. Jake Lang, L-A-N-G. Check him out. JLP will be right back to your calls. We'll get to more of your super chats. Shout out to Mike Young. And more great stories, guys. But it is hate news, not fake news. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN reports a water leak. I told you about this yesterday on the Hake Report and mentioned it briefly over on the JLP Hake News. A pipe burst at the Louvre in Paris. That's a beautiful and well-known museum, historic museum, has damaged hundreds of books, old books, which now need to be dried and repaired. The incident exposed further issues at the world's largest art museum. Just weeks after that dramatic jewelry heist that captured attention. Nice. And the so-called Supreme Court appears ready to back our greatest president, Donald J. Trump's argument that he should have the authority to fire members of independent government agencies. For nearly a century, federal law has shielded those entities from direct White House control. The court's liberal justices on Monday warned that Trump's push could dramatically expand his presidential power and upend the structure of the modern federal government, which has been a disaster, by the way. In recent months, Trump has already fired some so-called leaders of independent agencies appointed by former President Joe Biden. Sleepy Joe, shout out. Many of whom were likely critics. A ruling in this case is expected by the end of June. So it's going to take like 6 months to or more, right? More than 6 months to get to the, maybe more than seven. I'm not going to count right now. I don't have time. So, nice. And those boat strikes. Lawmakers from both parties would support the Trump administration releasing video of the U.S. military's controversial, meaning quite reasonable, double tap strike on an alleged drug boat. Top congressional Republicans and Democrats say they want to review the unedited footage of the deadly follow-up strike back in September that was reported that killed two survivors after nine others died in the initial attack. I think they hung out there for like an hour or more, something like that. And President Trump now says he will let Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth make the decision, decide whether to release the footage, marking a shift from his stance last week. Pete Hegseth is under mounting pressure as Congress is preparing to vote on restricting his travel budget unless he releases the video. What a mess, huh? And clergy abuse. Did you hear about this? The Archdiocese, whatever that is, of New York announced plans to establish a $100 million fund to compensate victims of sexual abuse who have sued the church. A spokesman said the fund would cover settlements for most, if not all, of the roughly 1,300 outstanding claims against the Archdiocese. Cardinal Timothy Dolan said the Archdiocese would pay for the fund by reducing its budget and selling off assets, including completing the sale of its former headquarters in Manhattan. The announcement came as a federal so-called judge on Monday approved a settlement for the New Orleans Archdiocese to pay $230 million to hundreds of supposed victims of clergy sexual abuse. Nasty stuff, huh? What a mess. And a Japan earthquake, a powerful 7.5, that's huge, magnitude earthquake struck off of Japan's northeastern coast Monday night. Fortunately, it was off the coast, or is that bad? Injuring at least 30 people, prompting evacuations, more than 100,000 others. And the prime minister woman, she warned that similar or even stronger tremors could follow. I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jason Peterson Show. Hour 2.
Uniting the racist with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. For some reason, I'm not getting the sound out of my headset. By rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. It's the second hour of the show today. you can get involved by calling 888-77-5377-3. 888-77-JESSE. I need to adjust some things here. 888-77-JESSE. And if you, we have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. I can hear now. And if you're out and about and doing whatever it is you're doing, you can podcast the show. We're here Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time. Heard around the world by everybody and their mama. You can podcast the show and still listen on your iPhone. I mean on your phone, not iPhone, but phone. By calling the Listen Line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, we are going to get to your super chats. Go to buymeacoffee.com/JesseLeePeterson. Buymeacoffee.com/JesseLeePeterson. Or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday. Oh, and the biblical question for this week, a doozy. The biblical question. What is courage? What is courage? Really? This is probably one of the most amazing biblical questions we ever had. And it's amazing. It's also amazing in that it's Tuesday. It's the second hour of the show on Tuesday. It is Country and Western Tuesday. Yeehaw!
Bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me.
What the?
Me.
Who let the dogs out?
Amazing! Country and Western Tuesday. I know country and Western. I know Beyonce and Beyonce. Y'all know it as Beyonce. Beyonce is not country and Western. What now? I want to go to Washington State and talk to Jared. He's been waiting a while. Jared, you are on the air.
Thank you, Jesse.
Yes, sir.
So do you remember a few days ago when you said, don't do anything to please others or to please yourself?
Never ask a black man if he remembers.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So, So I'm a martial artist, right? I'm a BJJ black belt and a MMA champion welterweight. Now I want to go after the middleweight title. But you said don't do anything to please yourself.
No, and meaning that don't please your false self. Now, physically, you got to take care of yourself. And so there's nothing wrong with you doing that. That's fine. I'm talking about the false self.
And how do you know when something's your false self?
Let me ask you this. Who are you?
I'm Jesse Lee Peterson's buddy.
And who else?
And I'm an aspiring Christian.
And who else?
Jay Sluman.
And so who are you? You told me you're a friend of Jesse Lee Peterson. You are an aspiring Christian, but you didn't tell me who you are.
And I'm just an evil person that got saved.
And so you still didn't tell me who you are.
I'm evil.
So let me tell you this. When I say don't please yourself, I mean don't please your false self. You're not your thoughts. You're not your emotions. You're not what you do. You're not who you belong to. You're not your past. You're not your future. You're not your loneliness, your sadness, your depression, and all that. If you need to be aware of those things, but do nothing about it, and let the spirit of truth destroy the false self. And that's what I mean, don't please that. Just be aware of those thoughts and feelings, but do nothing about them.
But even if your thought is like, I want to go to the gym right now.
Well, that's fine. You're working on the physical body.
And what if your thought is, I want to open a business?
That's fine, too. God gave you the ability to take care of yourself on earth. He gave you the ability to find a job, start a business, buy a home, buy a car. He wants you to be able to take care of yourself physically while you're on earth. And so he gave, even those thoughts are from God, but those are practical thoughts that we live by, but it's not who we are.
Okay, I'm just trying to figure out when you have a thought that, and it's your false self, so you can separate the two and categorize that's bad and this is good.
When you get the thoughts about anything about your psychological, emotional self, those are bad thoughts. They're lies. They're not real.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Does it make sense? No. Just kind of.
Okay. You know how sometimes you get the thought that you may be lonely?
Well, I mean, I pretty much stopped having those thoughts ever since you had me go forgive my mama and daddy, and
right.
Then I changed.
And that's what, or the thoughts about anger or the thoughts about somebody else. You let all those thoughts pass, you'll be fine.
All right. I wanted to ask you about when there's tension in the air between you and somebody else and you can just feel it and you're like wondering, do you have a problem with me? And it kind of pisses you off because you're like, I don't deserve this disrespect from this person, you know? So you want to go confront the person and have a conversation and say, hey, did I do something wrong to you? Because, you know, I get these bad vibes from you. But if it kind of pisses you off inside a little bit, there's some anger there. So I don't want to act out of anger, but at the same time, I feel like you have to stand up for yourself.
And who is the self that you're standing up for?
Just so I can move freely in the world and I can act with peace, you know, and then if other people have a problem with you, and let's say they're talking smack about you, or they're giving you dirty looks, or they're being awkward around you.
But whatever other people do, what does that have to do with you?
Because what if you're trying to move in a room and operate, and you got some crazy person yelling at you, talking smack, and you're like, hey, man, I don't want any problems with you.
Why don't you just go and do what you got to do and give no attention to what they're doing? As long as they're not hurting you physically, why do you pay attention at all to somebody else's actions?
Well, because then they're all in your face. This happened to me like last Friday at the gym, and they're all in your face, and like they're like, hey, dude, like just like it's too much to ignore because they're like in your bubble.
Meaning that they were in your face yelling at you?
Yeah.
Were they yelling at you?
Yeah.
And so and you got angry?
I mean, I didn't get angry. But what I did was I blocked the person on Facebook, and now we're going to have a different relationship because they're not my friend anymore.
Right, and that's fine, but don't be angry. They can't help themselves. The same spirit, the same evil spirit and thoughts that you're overcoming, they're having the same problem, but they might not be working on themselves. So you're fine to block them if you want, absolutely. But don't hold any anger or grudge against them at all. Forgive them. They cannot help themselves.
And what if you're in the same room with them again and it triggers that they're just your presence alone just completely throws this person off the rails?
That's their problem, not yours.
Unless they're in your face yelling?
Unless they're going to hurt you physically, that's their problem, not yours. Don't give thoughts to other people or about other people at all.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
As
long as they're not going to hurt you physically, you let them act and say and do what they want. That's on them. And whatever is happening to them is happening inside of them. It has nothing to do with you at all. In the same way, whatever is happening with you has nothing to do with them. It's inside of you. It's your, you're having those thoughts, and nobody else is to blame for what you're thinking. Because those thoughts are inside of you, and you got to overcome them if you want to be free.
I'm just thinking as far as like being a business owner and stuff, there's probably going to be conversations you have to have with people, that are kind of uncomfortable. Is that right?
No.
Oh. What? Gosh. I mean, let's just say Derek, right? Let's just say, for instance, and I'm just making, let's just say every day you came into work and he was just like, giving you dirty looks or something like that, and like, and maybe he was like, and you're like, did I do something to upset you? It seems like you hate me. Like, can I get some peace and some privacy? And that'd be like a conversation that if you have to see him every day in order for you to work at your best and for Jesse to be at his best, like, you don't want that energy in the room.
No, I wouldn't have one iota of a problem with that. That would be his issue, not my issue. It's happening in his mind and not my mind. That would be on him and has nothing to do with me. Long he come and did his work, treat, you know, people the way, in a proper way, business way, I wouldn't have any problem that he's miserable. That's his misery. It has nothing to do with me.
And then just what if you said, hey, when I come in, can I have like 5 minutes alone in this room so I can get my work done? And you got to go out and close the door and give me some privacy. And what if he, like, let's just say went out but wouldn't close the door because he just felt like you're bossing him around and he wouldn't want to follow your orders because he's like, feels like you're controlling him. He wouldn't, and he was like mad at you.
Here's what I recommend from this day forward, this point right now forward, never do any ifs. Always have a wait and see. Don't do ifs at all, because you're already living in an illusion of the future, and there is no future, and so you live in something that doesn't exist. It's only your mind, and that's where the problem is, in the thoughts. It's not in reality. Always have a way to see.
And
otherwise,
you'll
be a double-minded person, and a double-minded person is lost in all of his ways.
And do you avoid people that have problems with you, or can you still go about your day and interact with them every single day?
I never think about anyone that has a problem with me, because it's not a problem with me, the problem with themselves. So I don't even think about that at all.
The reason I ask is because I caretake for my uncle. He's 80 years old with Parkinson's, and there's just tension, and we had a talk, and it's hard. I have to see him every single day because he can't drive, so he never leaves the house. And so I had a talk with him, and I said, hey, these are my boundaries. This is what I want you to do. I want you to give me some privacy. And he just got so angry. And I'm like, it's not that much to ask.
But it's not your problem that he got angry. You still want your space there. Let him be angry. That's in him. It has nothing to do with you. Zero.
But it's not wrong that I stood up for myself and had that conversation with him, though?
As long as you're not angry.
What if I'm just annoyed?
That is anger. And you can't blame him that you're annoyed. That's inside of you. You have to overcome that. Because anytime you're feeling that way, it means that you are wrong. And that has nothing to do with anyone else. It's happening to you, inside of you, and no one else is to blame for that. It's something you got to overcome.
But it is normal to want a little bit of privacy. And if someone won't give you privacy, then it's very normal reaction to be very annoyed with them not respecting your wishes.
There's nothing normal about that at all. It's fine that you want time to yourself, but to get annoyed or angry is evil, and there's nothing normal about that at all. Why are you taking care of him?
Because my mom told me that she'll pay me to take care of him so she can go leave and travel. Because she's been taking care of him for about 3 years now because he doesn't want to live in an old folks home. So he said, hey, sister, I'll pay you a bunch of money if I can live at your house and still live a normal life. I don't want to go to the old folks home.
And how old are you?
34.
And do you want to take care of him?
Yeah, because the pay is really good.
Oh, well, then you got to deal with it by not taking his personality seriously. Those problems with him, they have nothing to do with you.
I know. I just feel like if I want to be the best caretaker I can be, then he should go up to his room a couple times and a day or a week and give me some privacy. And he's having a problem. He won't do that because he feels like his young nephew's trying to control him. And I had a conversation with him and said, hey, it's not about control. This is about I need some privacy so I can get my work done.
And what did he say?
Then he's like, and then he said a bunch of things about me that he doesn't like. Like, oh, yeah.
And so what's wrong with him? He has Alzheimer's?
He has Parkinson's.
Oh, I see. But you can correct him without being angry. Stay away from the anger and let him say it at. As long as he's not hurting you physically, let him say it at any kind of way he want. But don't you get angry at him, and you'll be fine.
And can I still tell him that he needs to leave and go upstairs and close the doors a few times to give me some privacy?
Absolutely. Or can't you go to your room?
But the office and the kitchen and the bathroom are in the main house.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell him that, but don't get angry.
And if I am angry, what do I do?
Don't blame him that you're angry and be aware that you are angry, but don't blame him or anyone else so you can overcome it.
And is it okay to have a conversation with someone when you're in the state of anger?
As long as you're not going with the anger, if you're aware that you're feeling and you have these thoughts and you're feeling it, but as long as you don't blame them or go off on them in that way.
That's what I did last night. I knew I have a little bit of anger, but I know it's not me. I know it's wrong. And I just stayed calm and I stayed respectful.
Absolutely. And then the anger would be taken away from you. And then eventually that same situation would happen. But you won't feel a thing about it.
I'm just scared to see him, like, today after we've had that talk. Because, like, I don't know why he scares me so much. He's 80 years old with Parkinson's. But, like, I feel like he's so angry. It's, like, terrifying.
That's because you're angry. That's why you feel afraid of him.
Okay. Yeah.
Anytime anyone that has anger / resentment or annoyed by others or anything, it's because, and you have that fear, is with you because you have been separated from God, from the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't hurt you, right?
Right.
So what are you afraid of then?
His spirit.
No, it's in you. It's not about him. All that
and how
is,
do I...
All that is inside of you. It has nothing to do with him. other people's issues are inside of them, and though they may try to hurt you or blame you, you have nothing to do with it at all. They don't know that it's in them, and when they are hurting, they are wrong. It has nothing to do with anyone else, period. And all you need to do is be aware of that, but don't call it you. Don't go with it. Just be aware and live with it until the spirit of truth taken away from you, and it will. That's the warfare of good and evil that's happening inside of every human being.
Being scared of people because the people, I'm scared when people don't like me, and there's like this confrontational energy.
Why are you concerned? Why do you even give it a thought if people like you or not? Why do you think about that?
I think maybe because I want to be liked.
Why?
So things can go smoothly and we can all be laughing and playing and joyful together.
What would happen if you never thought about being liked at all?
I guess I would just go about my day.
Why don't you do that?
I'll write that one down. And then I'll let you go. Just one thing on your last call. I just wanted to say that I came back from Sweden 2 months ago, and it's my first time in Europe. And guess what I saw over there? Something I've never seen before in my life.
A black person.
White babies.
Right on. Well, we need more white babies, that's for sure.
Yeah, like in the coffee shop, there was like tons of like young, pregnant white girls and like pushing little strollers, and they weren't like ashamed with like white guilt. And it was just like so eye-opening to me. I'm just thinking to myself, aren't you like ashamed for being white? And there was none of that in Europe over there.
Right on. Apparently, Donald Trump is going to be encouraging white women to have babies too by giving them $1,000 for investment for their children. God, we need white babies over here as well.
Well, I just moved out of Seattle. I was there for the last 8 years. I moved back into the country, into like God's territory, and I feel great. And I can tell you from experience that in the big city in Seattle, that you're, as a white man, you are not popular, especially with the white girls. You're like public enemy number one. Everyone thinks you're racist, white supremacist, sexist.
But if you dropped your anger and stopped thinking about those things at all, you can live anywhere in any situation and have perfect peace. It's the thinking that's creating the problem for you. Not what they think at all, but what you're doing wrong. You're thinking about what they're thinking, not realizing those are your thoughts, and it has nothing to do with their thoughts at all. Zero.
So they don't think I'm a racist white supremacist. I think I'm a racist white supremacist?
Yes, that's inside of you.
And how do I get rid of that, sir?
By letting them pass and don't call them you.
Okay.
And once you stop thinking like that, and about those things, you'll be at perfect peace, and you would never, ever think about what somebody else is thinking. Because their thoughts are inside of them, and they had nothing to do with you. But when you think about what others are thinking about you, you're creating a problem for yourself because you're thinking. Thinking is the problem. God is not about thinking. He is about knowing.
And I know that I'm wrong.
Yes. So quit your thinking. Stop thinking about anything like that. You think about your job. You think about your talent. You think about I'm going to move to the country. But those are just practical thoughts. You don't live by those thoughts. But all that other stuff you're thinking about people disrespecting you and because there's no you to disrespect. There's an illusion you because you're thinking that there is a you to disrespect, but it's just a thought. There is no you for someone to respect or disrespect. You just think that, and that's where the problem is. Thinking there's a you to be disrespected is a false self. And so now you think that there's a you to disrespect. So now you got to protect this false self that only exists in your mind because you think there is someone there to disrespect. If you stop thinking that way, there will be no one there to disrespect, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's what I feel like I've been doing the last few days, is like defending my ego or something.
Yes, 100%. You need to die from that, not defend that.
Oh, gosh, this is going to be hard, Jesse.
Why?
Coach. Well, it's going to be because, I don't know, I'm just so evil.
But just be aware of that and don't call it you either, because the evil is inside of your mind and body, but it's not inside of you. You just don't know who you are yet, and you're about taking on this false identity, thinking that that is you. The real you is not evil. It's the false you that's evil, and you're calling it you. Because it made a home in you, in your mind and emotions. I got to take a break. Let me know how it goes.
All right, what should I do right now to get rid of the false self?
Hold on. Let me take a quick break. Back in a moment. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man, man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autograph copy, or call 800-411-BOND and donate to my nonprofit, BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Amazing. Welcome back. 888-775-3773. Quick announcements. Number one, check out our merch. Amazing merch there. And if you want some of these merch, many people are ordering merch for gifts and things like that for other people, like coffee and books and T-shirts and mugs and all that. You need to get the orders in if you want them back before Christmas, for sure. All right? T-shirts and mugs and hats and coffee. And I don't know why they don't put it up, but... okay, coffee. Wow, it took forever. T-shirts, mugs. And my books are amazing, amazing books. And I will sign them to whomever you want me to, if you want them. From Rage to Responsibility, Scam, How the Black Leadership Explores Black America, The Seven Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual Family Financial Success Guide, and The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. And again, if you want them signed, indicate who you want them signed to, or you just want me to sign them. And you can make a donation as well. Year-end donation, tax-deductible. I do appreciate it. Or go to, you can make the check, money order out to BOND, B-O-N-D, and go to BOND, P.O. Box 35090, L.A., California, 90035, or call 800-411-BOND. You make a donation there, 800-411-BOND, or rebuildingtheman.com/donate. rebuildingdemand.com/donate. And last but not least, scan the QR code to support Barn as well. And I appreciate it in advance. Thank you all right? And like these videos. Don't forget to like these videos. Support us on social media. Support us on social media. Jesse Lee Peterson on Instagram. JLP Talk on X. Rumble.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. And Cozy.tv, where Christ is King. Thank you in advance. Let me go quickly back to Jared. Jared, the way you overcome your false self is by being aware of it. That's all you got to do. Keep your mind where your body is, and the spirit of truth will do the rest.
Okay, thank you, sir.
You stay with us, stay with us, stay with us. Are you doing the silent prayer morning and night?
No.
But how would God help you if you're not with him?
I'm just aware. Like I told you, I kind of do it all day, okay. Like in my head.
You know, you aware of what's happening inside of you all day?
Yes.
Well, don't call it you, but be aware, all right?
All right.
I wish you well. Call me again.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Jesse out of California. Jesse, you are on the air. Jesse? Amazing. No, Jesse again. What the? Let me go to Troy out of Minnesota. Troy, you are on the air.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Jesse.
Thank you, Troy. Merry Christmas to you.
God bless. Just had a question popped in my mind. I just want to know what you think about school choice at the state level.
What do you mean? I don't know what that is.
So right now what the states are doing is some of them allow school choice, meaning if you want, you can send your kid to public school, private school, charter school, or homeschool them.
Oh, I see. I know what you're talking about. Are you for that?
I am, but I live in Minnesota, and I just recently saw this Somali fraud, and I'm just a little worried that if you give Muslims money to start their own schools, they're going to funnel the money, turn these into little terror camps. So I just kind of wanted to know what you think.
I've been for school choice a long time. It's when you take your tax dollars and you go to you send your child to the school that you want to, you should have a right to use your own money like that to send your children to whatever school you want.
Yeah, and I agree. It's just, like I said, you know, if we allow people to go to religious schools, unfortunately, we do have to pay for, you know, Islamic schools. And we've seen, especially in my state, that they just can't be trusted.
Why don't you run for office?
I'm trying to get married first.
You trying to get married before you run for office?
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's what I want more.
You want to get married?
I would like to. I feel, and I also want to get rich before I run up for office.
Why do you want to get married before you run for office?
Because if I had to choose one of those two, for myself personally, I would rather have a family than run for office.
Why?
Because you got to look out for you first and foremost.
And how is getting married looking out for you?
Well, I know, like, knowing God is the most important thing, but in the hierarchy of my wants, getting married is higher than running for office.
But aren't you concerned about your country?
I am, but I've been involved in many political campaigns, and I'm very active in my local GOP and my state GOP, so I can help that way.
Oh, okay. Amazing. Well, are you engaged already?
No. I just got out of debt, and I have a career that's blossoming, and I feel like I said, I forgave my parents last year, so okay. The things are getting in place.
But I have always been in support of school choice. I think that as a taxpayer, parents should have a right to take their tax dollars and send their children to whatever school they want to, especially now that the public schools are social camps of destruction, and a lot of parents don't want to send their children to those schools anymore. So school choice or homeschooling is the right way to go.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy, though, in Minnesota, Jesse, in the state constitution, they made an amendment that there has to be a public school option. And so you have to fund the public schools here, which is you know, good for the Democrats on getting that done. But so you would not be worried about the school funds being abused. Do you think we should have the school choice, though?
We should definitely have school choice, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll just have to make sure that somebody keeps an eye on where that money's going.
Absolutely.
And I ask you another quick question?
Real fast, Tori. Go ahead.
All right. I just have my list here. What do you think about foreign aid?
Who?
Like the U.S. giving out foreign aid to countries.
I never think about it. What do you think about it?
I think that as of right now, we got to kind of dial it back.
Yeah. I don't really think about those things, man. I mean, the government has always been the government, and the government never going to do the right thing because the people in government are no good. So they're never going to do the right thing. So I don't really waste my time thinking about those things at all.
It's just beyond your control.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it because the people going to vote in the kind of government they get, so they want these people in office doing what they're doing, and then they love complaining about it, because if they didn't love complaining about it, they would not be voting in the same kind of people into government. So, and that's never going to change. Government, as far as I know, has never been good or for the people.
But do you think it's within the U.S. interest to give foreign aid? Or do you think it would be better if we just...
Well, it's in their interest in that and give them a false sense of power, and they get money when they do that kind of stuff. So that's why they're doing it. But that's what the people want. So I don't blame the government. I blame the people that vote for the government.
Yeah, because I know the Great White Hope, he got rid of USAID, and they gave out like $32 billion last year. So I think it's going to dial down. But I was shocked that we... Sorry, go ahead.
When Trump is out of there, it's going to go back to that.
Yeah, but we gave $20 billion to Ukraine last year. That's insane.
I know. They were coming here like they were going to the bank. Thank you, Troy.
All right, God bless you, Jesse.
Merry Christmas. Bye. Amazing. Super chat.
Super chat.
Cesar or Caesar bought a coffee on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. That anger that made the woman take the 10 grand from her nephew will be the same anger that'll make her keep it when he accuses her of stealing it. I mean, she's already trying to justify why it's technically her money as well. Laughing face with tears, says Cesar Caesar.
Who is that?
Women are evil.
What was that, a YouTube thing?
A lady called in toward the end of the last hour, I think, yesterday, talking about her nephew, whom she took care of since 15.
Oh, she was taking his money from his account.
And he's so wayward and what is that word? The prodigal? He's so prodigal.
And then her dad and other people tell her to stop, but she won't stop. I've never heard anything like that before. I have heard a bad thing, worse thing than that. But, yeah, thank you. I know what you're talking about now.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you, Caesar. And Heat, biblical question answer.
What is courage?
Courage is full confidence in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in unison on my behalf.
Amazing. Thank you. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. I appreciate it.
I agree with Hake and Nick, says Jim in Alaska, over on punchy.tv/JLP. And I have a few bug-out bags myself. Winky face smiling emoji.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim in Alaska.
Thank you, Jim. Amazing.
For the vote of confidence. We preppers, we know what's up.
That's right.
At this point, just call me Mike, bought a coffee. Let's end this debate once and for all. Jesse, if a man crosses his legs like this while he's sitting, like fully crossed, is he a beta male?
He's a Gavin Newsom. And Gavin Newsom is beta.
Whatever.
That's for sure.
And a BQ answer.
What is courage?
Yo mama.
You say that again. My mama dead. She dead. Amazing. Thank you.
Another from N Heat. Shout out to the young man who recommended a movie on a church with Jesse Lee Peterson on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. What was that movie?
A Beautiful Mind.
Have you seen it?
No.
But
this man apparently saw it.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Heat. Mr. Heat says, very insightful movie that depicts the spiritual warfare of the mind, intellect, and how love and non-judgment is able to make you whole by drawing you into the present.
Amazing. Yeah, we had a visitor from Bakersfield last Sunday, and he recommended that. And it sounds interesting. Thank you. I'm going to have to check it out.
Nice.
Amazing.
Nikki, 3. Every day I stare at my couch, and I think, I hate that couch. But my boyfriend won't get rid of it. That's how I know I'm not living my own life.
Are you living your own life? 99.9% of people are not living their own lives. Really? I promise you that. Amazing. Thank you, though.
Ralph bought 31 coffees. Hey, Jesse and crew, just wanted to wish you all a Merry Christmas. White Santa emoji.
Thank you, Ralph, and Merry Christmas to you.
And very generous.
Thank you, Ralph. Yeah.
No one, just Joe. Have a Merry Fro Christmas.
Thank you, Joe. Oh, amazing.
With his Merry Fro.
That's my Merry Fro. Kurt, who is this on this shirt?
I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No clue. Stevie Wonder?
I asked Derek, too. He had no clue.
America,
so you have no clue?
Fro.
Nope.
Amazing. Amerifro, not an afro, but Amerifro. Amazing. Thank you.
That's right. Very nice. Shout out whoever that was. Oh, sorry. No one, just Joe. Anthony.
Thank you, no one, just Joe. I appreciate it.
I was a little distracted because I was pulling up the Amerifro shirt on jesseleepeterson.shop.
Yeah.
Search Ameri-fro, F-R-O. Because it's not an afro.
It's an Amerifro. No afros here. Thank you.
Anthony L. with a dumbbell emoji. Loaded up with weights. Very nice.
Thank you. Amazing.
Mike Young. Thank you for your question, Mike Young, to the guest on the Trump's second term.
Yeah.
We did get to that one. And pardon me, Zylo, over on Rumble, gave a Rumble rant saying, good morning, folks. And then he had a question for the guest, Jake, the last hour's guest. Jake, you identify as a Messianic Jew, meaning a Jew who believes in Jesus. Yet some of your supporters insist you are simply a born-again Christian with no real Jewish background. Could you expand on that? My bag, Zylo. I didn't see your super chat, your Rumble rant, until it was too late.
So was he a message you?
I don't know whether he's a Messianic Jew, but he said he has Russian Jewish heritage. I don't know whether he was raised Jewish, Messianic Jewish.
His mother is Jewish.
Or raised Christian, or what?
It's not like he always.
Oh, yeah, his mother's was a Russian Jew.
Right.
And his dad is Irish and German. Something
white.
Like that. Yeah.
So he said that he's white and he's a Christian.
Right.
So he's not a messenger.
Did you catch where either he was raised Christian or whether he was raised
Christian? I forgot
something
what else? He said. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't remember. Thank you very much. He's gone.
Anthony L., cool sunglasses sticker.
Thank you, Anthony L.
Mio is a cute dog, Kappa. Dog the Bounty Hunter is a beta male, alleges Mio is a cute dog, hating on a fellow dog.
Thank you. I don't understand that at all, but thank you.
What's the context for that?
Right.
That's out of nowhere. Mio is a cute dog.
I have no idea, but shout out to the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. The dog.
Can't stop the dog.
Thank you.
Okay, and thank you guys. Let me just double check. I do believe that that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. Amazing. I want to show you this video, then I get back to your calls. I want to show you this video. We have a guest on earlier in the first hour. We had Jake Lane on the show, and he's fighting against Islamification in America. And he's seriously about it. He was over in Michigan holding a thing there about it. And but there are, I guess, liberal females or liberal people who love that our country is being overtaken by Allahu Akbar people. Watch this from Grok. Here's a video. Is it Grok?
Yep. Yes.
Here's a video of mostly white liberals filling a Somali restaurant in Minneapolis, writing encouragement notes like, "You are loved," to counter fear of ICE deportation targeting the community. Watch this from X.
Something beautiful happened in our community today. It started with an invitation for a few friends to join me for lunch, to support our Somali community, support our businesses, and write a few notes of encouragement. But people just kept coming in the door. Friends had invited friends, and before we knew it, the restaurant was filled from front to back. Hundreds of notes were written and delivered to all of our local businesses today.
Amazing.
We love you, Wilmer. Thank you for your support.
It's amazing what white liberal women do. It's like the white man is no longer controlling his woman, and she's going literally out of control. That's so dumb, and that's so stupid, and that's so evil that those liberal women are doing that. But the men won't stop them. They've allowed the woman to be educated, and this is what you're getting. And I've told you once, and I've told you twice. Men are over women. All women. In the right way, though, men. Not like all fake macho kind of mess. But the men, the white men have done what the black men have done with the black woman. They have turned her loose to be on her own, and now she's out of control. That's insane that those women are doing that. But they literally cannot help it. They can't see. And the men are not correcting them. Why did white men decide to let white women be educated, James?
Say again?
Why do white men allow white women to be educated? Look, these women, they voted for, I don't know about these particular women, but white women voted for Mandami in New York and everything. They're always on the side of evil. Why don't the white men stop them?
I don't know. This all happened before me, and I don't know the facts on the voting stats. White women vote the best out of any other women. But you're right. They shouldn't be educated, and they shouldn't be concerning themselves with politics.
Right. What do you mean they voted the best out of any other women?
All the other women vote way worse than white women.
Meaning what? White women voted for Mandami. Can you get it?
So says you. I don't know if that's true.
And no, all the stats show that one of the reasons that he won was because white liberal women.
I didn't see the stats.
Oh.
Yeah. La, 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 closing my eyes and covering my ears. But no, they shouldn't. You're right. Well, nowadays, like, we don't know better than to let them be educated because we were raised by educated women, us white young men.
Your mother was educated?
Uh-huh. She went to college, and she was a little teacher before, a little teacher before I was born.
How's your little teacher?
Before we were born.
Does she obey her husband?
Allegedly. I don't know. I've never asked.
But you were raised by that.
I didn't really notice.
All right, folks. One more hour to go. When I come back, I will get to your calls. 888-77-JESSE. Hate news, not the fake news, is coming right now. And I'll be back in a moment to your calls and your super chats. Back in a moment. What a mess. Steve, thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought... Because you're not your thoughts. If you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free just like that. At an instant, bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing.
A whole lot of mess, serious mess, going on in this old here world. This is the end of hour two already of Country and Western Tuesday, the December 9th, AD 2025. We will get to your calls and your super chats. There was one that I saw for sure that I missed, and then a couple of that snuck in as we were wrapping up with those super chats, guys and gals, appreciate them. We will get to them hopefully in this third hour coming right up. JLP will be right back to some more awesome and great stories. It is Hake News, not Fake News. Kami Nonsense Network talking about that Japan earthquake. Jimmy Kimmel signed an extension, a one-year extension. He's with Disney. Oh, sorry. Disney didn't used to be laughable. But Disney owned ABC to continue hosting his late night show. There was a comet. Is that the 3i Atlas / Atlas or whatever it's called? Comet about to pass by Earth? Awesome. Did you know Luigi Mangione, the Free Luigi evil people? They probably know. He was arrested 1 year ago today, the 9th of December, 2024 AD. He was arrested after that manhunt. Remember, he murdered, assassinated an upstanding, probably, maybe, I don't know, innocent, unsuspecting family man in the back. Shot him in the back like a coward, Luigi. And then he went on the run like a coward. And then they arrested him like a coward. Anyway, all the liberals love him because they hate America. And so, what a mess. By the way, speaking of hating America, there is an ambition gap in corporate America, says this new report. Fewer women than men want promotions at large companies, according to this new report. I don't know what the report is, but it just makes sense. Women aren't as ambitious as men. They don't have as high of testosterone, and they're just simply not that interested. And on top of that, they're not as qualified to be the leadership stuff. Anyway, they're not qualified, period, in some cases. Shout out. So this is, again, the end of hour one. After the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, thehakereport.com. I'm a ball earther, ball tarred for life, but my show is the best show on the flat earth, according to my flat earth friends and fans. And you cannot get this shirt. It's a unique. It's only for me. And then after that, American Anchor Baby will be live today. He wasn't live yesterday. He will be live today, right? No? Just kidding. He will not. He may not actually be live today. All right? But we'll send. Anyway, nice. American Anchor Baby, check him out. Check out his past episodes. They're awesome. All right. So that 7.5 earthquake in Japan. Videos showed several buildings, or at least a few, left damaged, debris strewn across the streets. Japan Meteorological Agency issued a tsunami warning shortly after that quake off the coast of Japan. It has since been lifted. Japan is no stranger to severe seismic activity, meaning earthquakes. The country sits on the Ring of Fire, one of the world's most active earthquake and volcanic zones. They have volcanoes there, too. So at least 30 people injured, 100,000 others were evacuated, and don't know about any deaths, at least as of this old report from way early this morning. Jimmy Kimmel signed a one-year extension to through May 2027. You know, he got temporarily yanked from the show after being all fake newsy over Charlie Kirk's suspected killer. He was trying to say, oh, it was a MAGA type of a guy or something like that. Ridiculous, huh? Typical. Jimmy Kimmel has close ties with key executives. And he also is known for hating Trump and being kind of a sort of a sissy, you know, sort of sissy in that he's kind of weak and girly and cries on camera and stuff, right? Shout out. So, what a mess. I'm James Hake. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. Hour 3.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. It's the third hour of the show today, and you can get involved by calling 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, a doozy of a question. This question is going to make you want to holler, throw up both your hands. It's amazing. What is courage? The depths of this question is mind-blowing. What is courage? What is it? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, and you, because we are here Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time and heard around the world. Different time zone for different people, so they're doing different things. And they were like, well, I can't sit and watch. I got to run to this appointment. You can still listen on your phone. You can podcast, and you can listen on your phone by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bun JLP Cash App. Bun JLP Cash App. Amazing. And what else is amazing? I grew up with country and western music on a plantation down in Alabama. And all my life, it's been amazing. Well, except that now my country's gone. But all my life I've been to Alabama. Every single time. It's been amazing. And what else is amazing? It is Country and Western Tuesday.
Yeehaw! All my faults, well, they've all been lies. They let me down every single time. Because the devil's been making holes inside my head. The good, the bad, the glad, the sad. If I could let them all go and give them to God, well, maybe he'd take this anger from my soul. And I'd shine like a light that's too bright to see. And I could lean on God so he could lean on me. Forgive. Righteous, perfect peace.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I love that song. Thank you, Pete. Amazing. You know what else is amazing? It's just absolutely mind-blowing to me. Two things. No such thing as problems. It's an illusion. You have no problems. You never have. You never will. You never ain't, and you can't have problems. And if you doubt me, now this is the second part. If you doubt me about it, you can prove me wrong. You can prove me wrong if you think that I am wrong. Stop thinking about yourself. Never give a thought about yourself at all again. Except your physical self, you know, you got to eat, you got to sleep, you got to go to work, you got to, if you want a business, start a business. Only those kinds of thoughts that you need to be aware of, that you need to do. But all other kind of thinking, let it go. And I promise you, you will see and know that your issue, every human being issue in this planet has always been the thinking. It's just a thought. A thought is just a thought, and that's all it is. But you take the thoughts because you believe that they're you and that they're yours and that they're real, and you create an illusion of problems. If you are not into thinking, you will never have one problem. It's just a thought. Think about that thought. It's just a thought that is supposed to naturally pass through us without any interference at all, and you'll be free. Stop thinking about your ego self. It's crazy how it's just a thought, and it's inside of you. You are thinking what others are thinking about you, so that makes it seem real to you. But it's you thinking it. If you never thought about what others thought about you, or may not think about you, because it doesn't matter either way, but you would never have, you'll be free. Think about it. It's just a thought. Amazing, huh? Work on yourself, folks, so you can be free. And you can be free. This idea of self or self-respect. Somebody, I don't want, you got to respect me. Respect who? Who are you talking about? And if there's no you, who is there to be respected? If no one is there, who is there to be respected? What a mess, huh? You can be free. And guess what's happening? Jasmine Cricket. Did you hear about this? Jasmine Cricket is running for government again. This is from Fox 4 Dallas. so-called U.S. Representative Jasmine Cricket of Texas is running for Senate. Watch it from Fox 4, Dallas.
Dallas Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett says Republicans are threatened by her entering the race. And while Democrats have not won statewide in Texas in decades, she thinks a different approach can flip the state blue.
I'm not running just to run. This is about winning.
In front of a Dallas crowd in her congressional district, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett finally confirmed what was rumored for weeks. On the last day to file, Crockett announced she would give up her House seat and run for Senate in hopes of flipping Texas blue.
I'm the only one who has gone toe-to-toe with Donald Trump, and there's a reason he's always got my name in his mouth. There's a reason John Cornyn has been attacking me since before I even entered this race.
The two-term congresswoman has been a rising star in the Democratic Party, drawing popularity from viral moments and criticism from Republicans. What would have been a three-person race between Crockett, State Representative James Tallarico, and last year's party nominee, Colin Allred, turned into a two-candidate race. Monday morning, Allred withdrew his name from the Senate race. A Democrat has not won statewide in Texas since Crockett was a child. Leading Republican Senate candidate Ken Paxton Monday called Crockett crazy. Senator John Cornyn said Crockett does not represent the views of a majority of Texans.
They're going to attack one person in this race. It's going to be me.
Isn't that amazing? Jasmine Cricket thinks she's competition for Trump. Think about that. A loser thinks she's competition for a winner. What a mess. Here's a video of a rapper by the name of Cameron. And apparently he's delivering a freestyle at Jasmine Cricket's rally there in Texas, or a luncheon or something. Rally. Senate lunch. Watch this from X.
Okay. She ain't never scared and she ain't never been. Who is willing to go toe-to-toe against the president? I can't wrap my head around someone who votes Republican. She advocate for feeding kids. They protect folks touching them. Trump invading his own country with our army. What a joke. We remember Pearl Harbor by illegally bombing boats. What y'all thought we wasn't gonna do nothing, buddy? Think again. They only trying to scare out of running because they think she'll win. Listen, thought I told y'all we ain't never scared. Now look who name on the docket. Got two words for every racist bigot, Jasmine Crockett.
Amazing. What's wrong with the blacks? I want my country back. It's not coming back. I keep saying I want it, but I know when I say it, I already know it's not coming. It's over. I don't think there was a real rapper. I think he was just playing. And last but not least, this is a clip of Crockett, quote unquote, tearing up while expressing reluctance from leaving her current House district. Watch this from X.
Right now, many people wonder why I jumped in this race so late, and I just want to be clear that this was never my intention. This was never about me. I never put myself into any of the polls.
Oh, no, she got there on her own.
Listen, my question was, which congressional seat would I be running for? And for Texas 30.
When she crying, she lying.
I love you, Texas 30.
Yeah, right. Jeff Crickin love nobody but herself. When she's crying, she's like, and look at the blacks down there applauding and yelling. What's wrong with the blacks? Hasn't always been this way, folks. At one point, prior to the civil rights movement, black people had common sense. They thought for themselves. They would never go along with that kind of mess. But the blacks have been brainwashed by the so-called civil rights movement. No such thing as civil rights, by the way. And white people are free, and they're letting these people in to continue to destroy their own country. And now white people are under genocide in America. Think about that. White people in America are under genocide. I saw it happen in South Africa. Mommy, Africa, I never imagined that it would happen in America. But the whites are free. Here's another example of when she's crying, she's lying from people. A former pageant queen in Georgia, Georgia on my mind, has been sentenced to life in prison after killing her boyfriend's 18-month-old son. Watch this from WALB 10 and Court TV. Watch this.
And first at 6, a judge has decided a sentence for former beauty queen Trinity Pogue, who was found guilty of felony murder and other charges by a Sumter County jury today. Pogue, a former Miss Donaldsonville, was on trial for the death of 18-month-old Romeo Jackson Drew Angeles.
Pogue was sentenced to life in prison plus 20 years. Her sentences will run concurrent or at the same time. This is the moment Pogue learned the jury's verdict after only 3 hours of deliberations.
All right, Ms. Pogue, if you would please stand. The verdict reads as follows as to each count. On count one, it says, we, the jury, find the defendant not guilty. On counts two, three, four, five, and six, the verdict reads, we, the jury, find the defendant guilty. Felony murder, two counts, aggravated battery, two counts, and cruelty to child in the first degree. Y'all can have a seat.
See how she stopped crying? She put on this face. Because they said not guilty on one of those count things. And soon they said, well, wait a minute, hold your tears. The tears went away. When she's crying, she's lying. Isn't that amazing? She was accused of killing an 18-year-old son of a man. Can you imagine having an 18-year-old son and you dating this woman and she kill your son? What the? Talking about a date from hell. And last but not least, and then I get to your calls and your super chats. And you want women to be in leadership role, right? That's what you vote in. Females like Jasmine Crooked and others, and you want women to be cops and all kind of stuff. What a mess. After this, will you still want that? From ABC 7, here's a newly released body cam video shows the tense moment leading up to the fatal shooting of a man who stole an officer's gun in Orange County. The footage shows the man wrestling the gun away from the officer as she says, please don't kill me. No, please don't shoot me, my bad. Please don't shoot me. Watch this from ABC 7.
Oh, my God, yes, my God. Oh, my God. Stay forever. Please don't shoot me.
That's is the voice of a Fountain Valley police officer who just had her gun taken away from her, begging for her life, as her partner, who had been chasing her attacker on foot, reaches the scene.
Put it down, dude! Put it down!
That man climbs into their police cruiser, and the officer opens fire. The man, who was later identified as 26-year-old Ocean McClintock, was shot and killed. This had all started when McClintock was seen trying to get into a woman's car, a passerby calling 911. When the officer found him, McClintock was initially cooperative.
I don't have to.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
In Jesus' name, I pray forever. Amen.
A foot pursuit begins, and in perhaps the most tragic part of this entire encounter, it nearly ended with no further problems.
If he tries to run again, just let him go.
But by then, McClintock had reached the cruiser and the female officer, and this could have ended very differently.
He like, Heifer, give me that gun. You have to play like you're a real man. What the? She like, no, please don't give it. What a cop doing whining like that? Why is a cop whining? No, please don't give it. I want my country back. But it's gone. A cop whining, please don't give it. God and Christ over man over woman. Women are not created to lead, but to follow. And all this other stuff ain't going to work. You can pretend if you want, but it ain't going to work. Let me go to Maria, first time caller out of New York. Marie, you are on the air.
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Marie. Merry Christmas.
How you doing? Merry Christmas, Jesse. You don't know how happy I am that you are. You're like my friend now. You're my real friend now. The
amazing.
Only friend I have. Because all my other friends, you taught me. I kind of knew it. You're just like waking me up a little bit. They're all fake. And I don't want to be bothered with them. I really don't.
Right
and
on.
You really helped me. Made such a big difference in my life, and I just want to say I am married and I do obey my husband, but he's kind of mad because sometimes I call him beta and he gets a little bit upset. He says he's gonna ban me from watching you, but no. I think it's helping him though, because
right
he's
on.
Being aware that he's a little beta. But so what's my question? My question is, you know, Jesse, honestly, I voted for Trump. And I used to love him. But now I have questions. And I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, I'm not trying to make you agree with me. But, you know, I heard, like, something that he's, you know, the War Department, they bombed, you know, they're bombing these boats. And that they bombed a boat where there were two men, like, hanging off the boat. And, like, that's considered a war crime. And I'm just wondering, like, this guy was talking about it, and he was saying, like, why are they bombing the boats? Why don't they just catch the boats, you know, find out where they're going so they could stop the drug trafficking? And it kind of made sense to me. And I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit not disheartening because I'm not really thinking about it. And maybe I do want to get your thoughts about it.
Right.
And because I know you love Trump, and I used to love him, too. And now I'm seeing things that I'm not really sure.
And so you don't love him anymore?
It's not that I don't love him anymore, but I'm wondering if I should love what he's doing, you know?
And your question is what for me?
Like, do you agree with everything Trump? I guess the question is, right, can you still love someone when you don't agree what they're doing? And probably the answer is yes. Right.
Yeah, let me ask this first.
Where
did you hear the story about the boat? What are you referring to, the fact that they're blowing up these boats that are bringing drugs into the United States, right?
Well, they're saying that, but because they're not really catching them and there's
right.
no real proof. And
where did you hear the story?
On the news.
And why did you believe them?
I don't know, because I know the news is fake, too. So that's a good question. That's a good question, because I know I've been knowing about the fake news for like 20 years. But now, right?
And have you ever known the news to be with Trump or against Trump?
Against him.
So why would you believe what they say about what he's doing? Anything about him? Why would you believe it?
You're right.
No, that was a question.
Right. No, why?
Yeah.
Maybe because I, like, this is like little things. Like, again, I guess listening to the news and seeing, like, because I was very upset about what's happening, like, in Palestine, right? And that I felt like he was supporting Netanyahu, and I didn't understand that. So maybe that sparked in me the doubt about it.
So you became angry at him about one thing, and that makes you start to doubt everything.
Yeah,
I mean, other things about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why not drop the anger so you can see clearly for yourself, and it wouldn't matter what I or anyone else say. Why don't you drop the anger so you can see for yourself? Because now you're believing what the liberal media is saying about Trump, and you know the liberal media is never going to support Trump.
Right. Right. I didn't think about, you know, and what you're kind of making me see, it's so funny that I don't see myself as being angry, but I am angry.
Yeah.
Obviously.
That's why you doubted him. That's what happened. You can love somebody until you get angry at them, and everything you felt about them changes. And that's because you never loved them. You always hated them because love is not changeable. It doesn't change at all.
You're right. You're right about that. And I guess I guess this is a lesson for me to see that I got to focus on dropping my anger. Just drop it. Because not focus on it. I got to drop it.
Absolutely. Completely.
Yeah.
That way you will always see clearly, no matter who, whatever anybody say. But you're angry. Drop your anger because Trump is doing the right thing. Trump is protecting America. And he's blowing these drug dealers out of the water, looking out for America. These people are bringing drugs in forever. And the media and the right-wing Republicans or the Democrats never said anything about it. And people dying all over the place. And finally, Trump is doing something about it. And because they don't want that, they're telling you this, he's blowing people out of the water. They know the people in the boat are what they are doing before they even blow it up. We have amazing military equipment that can point out a fly in a wide ocean. So you're angry. Drop the anger so you can't be deceived by the media. Or anyone.
Okay, and I have two more. I want to answer your question about courage.
Okay, but let me, before you get to that, that makes sense about you got to drop the anger?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, thank you.
Yeah, drop the anger so you can always see what's right.
Yeah, you're right about that, and I am. I'm going to drop it, thank you.
You're welcome.
And the answer about courage is that I believe that courage is doing what you're afraid of. Like, even though you're afraid, you do it anyway.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true, but I'm just saying the thoughts of fear would stop me from doing things because I was in my thoughts about myself.
Right.
So I would be afraid, like something like public speaking. If someone would call me up to speak, I would always get really nervous and I would think, I'm shy. But it wasn't that I was shy. It's because I'm in my head listening to those thoughts telling me, you know, you're not smart enough, you're stupid, you're ugly, whatever. But now I don't feel that way because I'm not thinking about myself.
Beautiful. I want to respond, but I got to wait until Sunday. But that's amazing.
Yeah. So that's good. And then one more thing about Christmas, and I have to tell you the truth. I love Christmas. I live in New York. It's the Christmas lights and all the tree. It's all great. But I don't feel like buying anybody Christmas gifts, Jesse. I'm kind of tired of it.
And so what are you going to do?
I always say I don't want to do it, and then I guess those thoughts come in. I do it, and I always regret it, but I do not want to do it. And I get so mad at Christmas because, you know, people want it. And this might sound mean, and people think I'm mean and cold and everything because I say not how I feel, but how I see it. I'm like, these people give me these, like, dollar store gifts that I don't need and I don't want because I don't really need anything. But, you know, it's just, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I always say I don't want to participate. Doesn't mean I don't love you because I don't want to buy you something.
Do you feel obligated?
I feel like, you know, that because I used to buy, like, nice gifts for everybody. And then they would give me, like, the ugly, cheap gifts. And I would get upset. I wasn't buying the gifts for them to give me a good gift. But I would think, like, I just recently got married and my sisters came to my wedding, right? And I wasn't, I made a mistake. I said, don't bring me anything. You don't have to give me money. I'm having this wedding. I just want you guys to be there. And I should have not said that because I shouldn't tell people what to do or try to control them. But anyway, they, right. my sisters came. And my one sister, she gave me a statue with a broken head on it. She said it broke. She said it broke. She gave me a card that was still in the plastic. She didn't even take it out and write on it. What a mess.
What
Jesse.
A mess.
What a mess. And the other one gave me, and they came dressed all crazy, looking all crazy and everything. And then then the other one gave me two coffee mugs, like Mr. and Mrs. Like, what the? I mean, really.
But did so you I appreciate said, it?
No.
I but didn't. You said don't bring anything.
You're right. I would have been happy if they didn't give me anything.
But then when they brought you something, why not, even a broken statue, why not say thank you?
You're right. You're right. I got to work on that. I got to work on that.
Hold on for me.
Way.
Hold on. I have a question for you. Hold okay. on. The treasure chest is now open on DLive and Stratch Off on Pure.net. I'll be back in a moment. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy, they're miserable, they have rough lives, they're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand, I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. All right, folks, welcome back. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. The Hate Report is coming up at the top of this hour. The guy with the good hair? Hate Report. From 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then no Anchor Baby, am I right, Anchor Baby? No Anchor Baby today. No Anchor Baby today. You can podcast this show, though. The American Anchor Baby has to podcast it, all right? And like these videos. Like. Hit like. And the last but not least, there's a special going on there for the personal shout-out cameos. Personal shout-out cameos. Winning shout-outs. Encouragement shout outs, birthday shout outs, whatever the shout out is, I can do them for you. Merry Christmas shout out, Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is, go to Cameo. There's a sale from Monday, this past Monday, till this coming Sunday for 1 week only. CAMEO.com/JesseLeePeterson. CAMEO.com/JesseLeePeterson. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Don't walk. Run. And get your shout outs in so I can get them back out to you. Amazing. And check out Puncher TV. PUNCHIE TV. Punchy.tv. Punchy.tv. Brand new episode from last week. Amazing. Let me go quickly back to Marie out of a first-time call out of Manhattan. Marie, you said that you were disappointed with Trump about Palestine or something like that?
Yeah.
What were you disappointed about concerning Palestine?
Well, because I felt bad. I feel bad for those people that are getting killed. And he said that he wants to go in there and you know, like make like a seaside resort.
Right.
In Gaza. But all those people are getting killed. I feel like nobody cares about those people.
But they're getting killed by their own people. The radical Muslims over there, I forgot what they call.
But isn't Israel bombing them too?
Well, Israel is protecting themselves from the Palestinian.
Yeah, but those women.
But not all the regular folks, but the ones that hate them.
Those women and children, I mean, they're not bombing anybody.
Right, but that's what happens when you have wars, and there will always be wars because human nature is evil, and they're always fighting to try to prove one is better than the other. And unfortunately, some of the innocent are going to be killed in those wars, and the people who start the wars don't even care. Just imagine that. What are those groups called hate that's in Palestine? They won't stop. I forgot what they're called.
Those Muslims. Yeah.
Let me go ask hate. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hold on. Hamas. It's the Hamas people that's killing their own people because they want to make it look like Israel is doing it when it's really the Hamas people doing it. Their own people killing them, their own people. But the media won't report that because they want to make Israel look like the bad guy. Marie?
Yeah, I'm here.
I said it's the Hamas people that's killing their own people, and they're doing that because they want to make it look like Israel is doing it when Israel is just protecting itself from them.
I don't believe that.
And why not? You may be right, but why not?
I don't believe it because I watch a lot of independent news, like from other countries, not American news, that they don't really have anything invested in, like, lying. Like, they're just reporting the news. And from everything that I've seen and that I know, I'm talking about from years and years, like, what's going on, that it's not right. Something is not right. Something genocide to me is never right. Right? And that's what it looks like, and it's just, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I'm just telling you what I see and how I feel, and I even have Jewish friends, you know, first of all, they never talk about that with me. I don't know, I want to talk about it with them, but I'm afraid because, you know, they're going to call me an anti-Semite or something, so I can't even talk about, no, really, they will.
So you have a Jewish friend that would call you anti-Semitic?
Yeah.
But why would they call you that? Are you friends with them?
Exactly, because they're on the fake friend list. That's what I'm realizing.
Oh.
You know who's on my fake friend list?
Who?
Her. And I kind of told her that. I didn't tell her that, but I've been telling everybody about you and that how you are, you know, amazing and they're like, oh, send me the video. I'm like, I don't know if you're gonna like him, but I'll send you the video. But because you're so real, like, and you're not afraid to say what you think and how you feel, and you, I love the way you are. Like, I don't see people like you. I don't hear people talk like you. Even the other day, you had that. I watched a video of you with the transgender, and that was like one of your best interviews, because, you know, it was a conversation of two people that you might not have agreed on everything, but you were able to have fun and talk and be kind to one another. And you know, I know there's no self to respect, but have that kind of vibe where, you know, it wasn't chaotic. It was just nice.
That's why you have to drop the anger.
You're right.
And when you drop the anger, you drop the judgment. And so you have no opinion about anyone.
You're right. But I'll drop it. But if, you know, you were asking some questions, sometimes you ask questions to people like that. And I've seen that on your show, too, where they can't handle the truth. They get up and they walk out. It's funny. It's real funny. And that's why I love you, too, because you are. Are you really a pastor? Or are you a comedian? Because you're too funny. I think you're a comedian.
I don't try to be a comedian at all. I don't know where the jokes come from, so I take no credit.
You are funny, but you know, but most people that speak the truth are funny.
Yeah. Let me ask this because of time. What is the unbiased news? You say you watch some unbiased news. Yeah. What is that?
I think the unbiased news, like I watched this news, RT, it's from Russia.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah, and Al Jazeera.
Now, and so why do you say Israel would just kill people for no reason at all?
Is there a good reason to kill anybody? I don't know.
But why do you think, you believe that the Israel people are killing the Palestinians, and you don't believe that Hamas.
I mean, if you see,
I know people from there, from Palestine, and they said that the Hamas people are really doing a lot of the killing of their own people, and they put it out there to pretend that Israel did it so they could get support.
Well, I saw one video that I saw that really was like,
especially
disturbing.
When you use a human shield, they use their
That's
own
what
people.
They say. But listen to this. This old woman.
I know, but
right?
Let me ask you this before you go to that. I don't want you to forget the point.
Okay.
What do you think about Palestinians telling me that Hamas used their own people? And they
that
were over
be.
There, so they know.
That could be.
And they put it out in the media to pretend that Israel is doing it.
No. In some instances,
what do you think about that?
I think that in some instances, that's true.
But media don't tell you that, though.
No, but I don't think they're bombing and leveling out the whole city.
Right.
Like,
because they're at war. You're right. They're at war, so they're not doing the whole city like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I say, Jesse? No matter what it is, it's not in my control.
That's right.
It's in God's hands.
Absolutely.
If that's God's plan and that's what he wants, I'm for it. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to argue with God. I mean, I could argue with God. I could, because you can argue. You can argue with God. Not argue, you could debate with God, right?
Well, no, you think you're debating with God, but and no such thing as debating with God at all.
You know, like Abraham, right? When he was asking God, when Lot was in Sodom, and he was asking God, oh, if there's only 50 people, will you not destroy it? You know,
well,
and he went over.
Where is Abraham now? Did you forgive your mother?
I thought I did, but I'm forgiving her more. But she died. She died in 2020.
She did.
But listen to this. Before she lived in Miami. Before she died, I was with her. I was in Miami. I was with her, and I did everything for her. And at the end, and I even stayed an extra week with her, not knowing she was going to die like a couple of weeks later. And she cried and she said, I love you so much. And what you did for me, nobody could do. And I think I forgave her before that. but maybe I still had, now thinking about it, some resentment about her.
Yeah.
That I have to forgive her for.
Yeah, well, now too. She's dead, just realize, as you know, she couldn't help herself. And that way, yeah. Even though she's dead, you can forgive her.
Yeah, and you know, my mother was a white lady, Italian, right? From like
right.
Manhattan, back in the 50s. And she was like a rebel. She went with a black man, right?
What the? So now you have a black daddy?
No. She went with he was black, but you know how some Puerto Ricans are black?
Oh, yes.
He was black, but he was Puerto Rican. And her family, you know, they weren't happy about that.
Right.
They were not happy.
They were like, what the?
Yeah. So then, okay, so she had a son with him. And then she left that guy. And then she married my father, which was another Puerto Rican. He wasn't black, but he was still Puerto Rican.
Mm.
And she married him. He was an alcoholic and a drug addict. And she used to work. All I know my mother doing was working, and my father not doing anything but laying in bed and drinking beer, and she put up with that for a long time till she left him.
Right on. But I got to run because of time, but it's been fun talking to you. Thanks for the call.
I love it. I love when I ask you things, and I love when you say, because of time. I love it.
All right.
You're the best.
Merry
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And listen. I'm going to come to California just to come to your church and meet you.
Right on. It'll be an honor to meet you. Absolutely.
Okay. Love you, Jesse.
Love you, too. Amazing. Super chat. But first, hey, you said that I said, what about?
Oh, you called that son 18-year-old at one point.
18-month-old.
Yeah. The beauty pageant queen gal.
Yeah, I was accused of killing a boyfriend's son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't 18-year-old son. It was an 18-month-old son. Right?
That's right.
18-month-old son.
Yeah. Minor correction, because you said it wrong the second time.
Correction.
Jesse hates Muslims but loves Jews. What the? Says Johnny C.
I love the Muslim.
That's right.
No, I love the Muslims. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Johnny C, who also says,
Johnny C also says
with another super chat, Israel is beta. What the? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Anthony L, JLP, do you like Four Seasons? My cousin was bass player.
The music group?
Yeah.
Yes. That was your cousin? Right on.
Nice.
Yeah, I like the Four Seasons. Amazing. Thank you.
And thank you, Anthony L. Nick LaBoy on Rumble. Most of the women who are for all this mess are atheist Jewish women, these so-called white women. According to some stats I've seen, Jewish people in America in general are among the highest for being atheist. Nick LaBoy.
I'm surprised, too, that I did hear that. Now, I don't know how true it is, but I did hear that over in New York with Mandami. Even though other than Israel, New York has the highest location of Jews than other than Israel, right? And yet, some of them voted for Mandami.
Yep.
But how do Jews vote for people that hate them? You love what you hate.
Yep.
What it is. I was surprised to hear that, if it's true. But we have Americans voting for their enemy, too. Voted in these foreigners and everything into their own country. Amazing. Thank you, though.
Homesteader Nick on Rumble. Out of the 87 people connected with the Minnesota billion-dollar theft, 8 were not Somali. 8 out of the 87 were not Somali. Wow, interesting.
Where did he get that from?
He doesn't say. So according to Homesteader Nick,
look it up for yourself. I don't know if that's true or not. It may be, but I don't know.
Johnny C. says, courage is the opposite of beta.
Responding to the biblical question?
Apparently so.
What is courage? The opposite of beta, he said?
Yep.
Thank you very much. He or she is a he, right?
He.
Thank you very much. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Amazing.
Chris from chat, member for 5 months. Courage is when you shake in your boots, but relax and do what you got to do anyway.
Thank you, Chris. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday.
Fazul answering, do what's in front of you. That's the
response to courage.
That's what courage is.
Thank you. Amazing.
On the biblical.
Thank you,
Fazul. Lori, BQ answer, as I watch your guest this morning talk about courage, it seemed to come from anger. Courage is an unnecessary illusion in the mind, just like anger and fear, says Lori.
Thank you, Lori. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. And the guest this morning was in the first hour. You can podcast that, folks. I had Jake Lane on the show. He was jailed for a while there as a result of the Capitol January 6th Capitol event. And now he's dealing with the Allahu Akbar people. Check it out. You can podcast. Jake Lane.
Mike Young, hey, Jesse, you talk about people with anger are stupid. Well, you should also say that white guilt liberal females are stupid as well for supporting their own destruction by supporting Muslims and the Somalians.
I'm really might surprised to see. Well, I'm not surprised to see the women acting that way because women tend, if they're not under the umbrella of the father or some man on the right side, they tend to go out of control. But I'm surprised that these liberal women as out of control, white women are out of control as they are, but the black, white men have given up on them too, so that's what you get. Thank you, Mike.
Eric, ladies love Luigi Mangione, and we wonder why children don't have fathers. What a eye roll emoji with his five coffees.
And who is Luigi Mangione?
He's the guy who allegedly assassinated the healthcare CEO.
Oh, United okay. Health. The guy that was accused of doing that.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah, I heard that he get a lot of attention from the women while in jail.
He's a good-looking murderer, allegedly. And Heat allegedly, bought a coffee. Right. Stevie Wonder got his sight back. LM blank O. Kurt, that best guess got me in pieces. Darn, that's funny. Well, thank you, Kurt. Laughing face with claps, thinking that that's Stevie Wonder and JLP's Amerifro shirt.
Oh, he still believes it's Stevie Wonder.
To this day?
Right now. What?
That is funny.
I guess all black people look alike to Kurt.
Yes.
Kurt is the producer of the Punch and TV now.
That's right.
Oh, man, he white.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And he... Eric,
even Derek act like he doesn't know who it is.
Yeah.
He's not acting, but he doesn't know who it is either. He said it's not Stevie Wonder, but he doesn't know who it is. Amazing. Thank you.
Five from Eric. Every woman with a nose ring is possessed by the devil. I saw two young girls with tattoos on their faces yesterday. What a mess.
Yeah, they doing it, putting it all over their bodies nowadays. Thank you.
Wearing Amazing. Their problems.
Yeah.
Walking Roscoe. Sent five gift memberships.
Thank you. Oh, amazing.
Craig D., God bless you, Jesse. Merry Christmas.
And God bless you. Merry Christmas, and thanks for your support.
And thank you, guys. I do believe, although I could be wrong, but I do believe that... Oh, shout out to the supporters on the DLive crew. Games for Rec, Aries 1, Groovy Monkey, and the rest. But that, and of course, Age of Inversion, my dad, and the rest of the people. Not my dad. The guy named my dad something. And Buddy 1205 on the Rumble crew and the YouTube guys and the Pilled.net crew. Thank y'all. That's all for now.
Shout out. Thank you all very much. I do appreciate it. Thank you. What am I going to say? I forgot. Anyway, let me go to... Thank you very much, folks, for your support. Let me go to Glenn out of Illinois. Glenn, you are on the air.
Can you hear us okay? We took you off speaker.
No, I can't hear you okay. You took me off speaker.
You told us to take speaker so you can hear us. Hey, yes, my wife and I are here. We were just calling to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And we sent you something. It looks like it came there yesterday. I'm not going to say the name of the book because they said don't do that because it's promoting something. So I'm not. But it's a question that I've heard. It's an answer to a question I've heard you ask your guests repeatedly, especially when you're doing your one-on-one lot, you know, in your television studio.
Yes.
When you actually bring people on, like, you know, Pearl and things like that. It's a very well-documented, footnoted book. It's disturbing, but I think it'll give you an answer. You know, you ask, you know, how the black community got this way.
This is
very, very detailed, you know, how it was engineered, where it came from.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, we just want to make sure you got it, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you and your wife as well. I appreciate it.
Jesse, thank you for all that you're doing for the kingdom.
Right on, and thank you all for your support. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Jesse.
Right on. Thank you. Amazing. I know what I was going to ask you. What's the name of it? I got the birthday card that someone asked me about it in chat yesterday. What was the name again? I forgot.
Jeff from Ohio and his family.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I got it. Amazing family. Just keep on making white babies, Jeff. Just make them until the Lord says stop. But Merry Christmas. Thank you and your family for the Christmas card. I do appreciate it. I'm so out of time, for I don't know where the hour went. But the Hate Report is coming up now. No anchor baby today. Get on that street in Nerifo and stay there. It's a spiritual battle. It has nothing to do with male or female. It has nothing to do with color. It has nothing to do with slavery or whatever they're blaming. It has everything to do with an unforgiving heart. And every human being must forgive their mothers and their father to return to the father, and meaning don't resent them. So, and do it for you. Forget about others. Get on the straight and narrow, and don't let anyone take you off in any way at all. And do the silent prayer. Rebuilding the family. No. RebuildingTheMan.com/silent prayer. RebuildingTheMan.com/silent prayer, all right? And stay with it. I promise you, eternal life is yours. All who want it. All right, call us. I'll be back tomorrow if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. It is Black Excellence in the first 2 hours, then Manhood Hour, the third hour. Haste is coming up now. Thank you, call us. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day. Peace.
Joel Friday here. Look, stand up, stand up. We got fighting to do. We gotta show him who boss. He put a Viking in you. He put that lightning in you. Igniting the truth. But you beg and blame and lie and hate and never wanna stand for the truth. So what you planning to do? You ain't standing to lose. You better go talk to your mama. Better stop all the drama. Better drop all the trauma. Boy, you better stand up, man up. Put your hand up and hut. Cause if you don't, then we lose. And then we gotta hear the fake news. Whoa.
The views, information, thoughts and opinions expressed during this show are the individual's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of the JLP Network or Bond. Their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The JLP Network and Bond name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service.
So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer. And I want you to start doing it. You just download it, get the points of how to do it. And then after a while, you just do it on your own. It's going to point you in the right direction that your life will be returned to you from God. He will give you your life back. Because anyone and all people who has anger, they're not themselves. You are the person that you are angry at. That's why it's so important to get to know yourself so that you can see who you're angry at. And if you're doing the hooping and hollering prayers and things like that, some people get up, oh, praise the Lord, hoop and holler, bless my mama, bless my daddy. Continue to do it. Do both. You will see if you want to stay with the hooping and hollering or do you want to be still and know God. So my gift to you, no charge, at rebuildingtheman.com/church.
Thank you, JL.